Hello, 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 and welcome to Voice of America's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. I'm Jackson Vunganyi, coming to you live in the studios here in Washington, D.C. With me in Kigali, Rwanda, covering the game live is VOA's Sunny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports, together with Eddie Rema of VOA's Central Africa Service. They're covering the game from Kigali, Rwanda, in the iconic Kigali Arena, recently renamed Bank of Kigali Arena. The final game kicks off momentarily. Angola's Petro de Luanda takes on U.S. Monastir of Tunisia in a matchup between two legendary basketball franchises. Petro de Luanda was the first to qualify for the finals after beating Cameroon's FAP 88-74. And Tunisia makes its second appearance at the Basketball Africa League Finals after beating reigning champions Zamalek on Wednesday. With me right now, connecting with me live from Kigali, Rwanda, is Sunny. Sunny, are you on?
Sporty greetings from the iconic BK Arena, Jackson. It's now officially termed the BK Arena, or that's short for Bank of Kigali Arena. But I think we're going to have a good crowd here this evening, Jackson. The stands are filling up. And Eddie says there are rumors that President Kagame could be in attendance at this final between Monastir and Petro de Luanda. So, yeah, a lot of excitement here, Jackson.
Indeed, indeed. And so we're going to let you guys take over the show until the top of the hour when the game starts. Correct, Sonny?
Yeah, well, one of the first things to point out, Jackson, is how evenly matched these teams are. Monastir and Petro, they released some of the statistics through eight games. Each team has played eight games leading up to this point. So let me just run down these stats. Petro has averaged 87 points per game. Monastir, 84 points per game. Petro, 23 assists per game, compared with 21 assists for Monastir. Three-point shooting, they're about equal. They each shoot through the tournament. They've averaged about 31% from behind the arc. And in rebounding, they're dead even. 40 rebounds per game for both Petro and U.S. Monastir. So, Eddie, these teams are really evenly matched.
Very evenly matched, like you say. And these are the giants of basketball on the African continent. They have won so many trophies, be it club championship. Most of the players here have played for AfroBasket. That's the national team competition that goes on the African continent. I would say that we should expect a very, very tight and entertaining game here at the BK Arena.
Jackson and Dan, Eddie did have an interesting jet, so to speak, an interesting jet at the third place game on Friday night. He caught up with Petro de Luanda's award-winning coach. So, Eddie, tell our VOA listeners about that.
Yeah, Jose Neto was voted the 2022 Basketball Africa League Coach of the Year. The Brazilian technician is in his second BAL season with Petro de Luanda. He's been with them for quite some time. So I caught up with him. He was really happy to receive the award. And being here with his team, I'm pretty sure, like we said, there's too much to expect from Petro de Luanda. Most people think that they might end up winning this thing. So we're in for a very entertaining evening, Jackson.
And to remind our listeners, this year, the top eight teams from the league's Sahara and Nile conferences competed in a single elimination playoffs game in Kigali, Rwanda, with the winner today will be crowned the second Basketball Africa League champion. And Sonny, for Monastir, I think that they have to find ways to defend Angola's point guard, Childe Dandao, the shortest player in the league at 5'7" or 5'6", I believe. Dandao in the last matchup scored 18 points.
Yeah, Dundell, he's a spark plug, very much for Petro You know, I think he, if Petrov should win the game tonight, Jackson, and Dundow, you know, I think last game, I think he had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. But I think he could be in contention for the MVP award.
Absolutely.
At this tournament if Petrov should win. One other little fun fact, Jackson, that, again, I scooped out ahead of the game. What the heck? I'll quiz you, Jackson. He's an Ivorian international for Monastir. And if Monastir should win the game tonight, he'll become the only two-time BAL champion, because he played for Zamalek last year. This time around, he's playing for Monastir. Who am I talking about, Jack?
Oh, my goodness. You put me on the spot, Sonny. Don't do that to me.
It's Diabate.
Diabate, yes,
Suleiman,
yes.
Suleiman Diabate. And he'll see some playing time tonight, I think. Right, Eddie?
I'm pretty sure he's going to see some playing time. I mean, given the experience he has, he's played in the finals before. So I'm pretty sure the team is going to rely on him a lot, especially when it comes to, you know, the mental preparation, stuff like that. So I believe, like you said, if U.S. one of them could win this, then he will be the top.
Yeah, so there's some interesting players for each side, Jackson and Dan. But one guy that Eddie and I saw earlier in the week for Petro de Luanda, we saw him at one of the team hotels here in Kigali, Carlos Moraes, shooting guard, another possible MVP candidate for this tournament, Jackson and Dan. He's a prolific scorer. I think he had one game earlier in the tournament where he had 27 points. I don't remember who the opponent was.
Right.
But, you know, looking at that guy up close, Jackson, he is a rugged, rugged player. I mean, muscular, strong, and, you know, he can get his shot off pretty much whenever he wants.
Now, Sonny, we covered this tournament last year. Looking at some of the games you've seen so far with the Sahara Conference, with the Nile Conference, would you say that the game of basketball has gotten progressively better, you know, based on what you've seen this year?
Yeah, I would say there's been a noticeable difference, Jackson, in the quality of play. And I don't know whether it's because of the different stages of the tournament. It's worth reviewing how the Basketball Africa League season began in March in Dakar, Senegal. That was the Sahara Conference. And then it moved to Cairo, Egypt for the Nile Conference. And then we're here in Kigali now for the final this evening. But I like to think that the excitement sort of built at each one of those stages, Jackson and Dan. And, you know, one other point about these teams playing in the final tonight, Jackson, is that they didn't even win their respective conference. I think they each lost a game. Mm. So they were runners-up in their respective conferences.
If you're just joining...
Eddie.
You've been talking about the Petro de Luanda players that you mentioned, Morales, but also we have a team in the name of U.S. Monastir that has very good players. There's Silimani, the old man, I'm sorry to say that, but it's my job. And then talk about Dixon, too, the American Museum.
Yeah, those three guys that Eddie just mentioned, Jackson, have really stood out in the finals. Majak from South I'm not sure. I think he's from Sudan, actually. I think he's born in
Khartoum.
Yeah, from
Sudan, yes.
But he's a force underneath. Block shots. He can run the court. And he's got a decent shot, too. He's got a good shot from outside. Mm. So they're going to be relying for him in the paint to stop, I guess, some of the bigs for Petro de Luanda, including, Johnny Pedro. He's one of their big men.
He's the center. Yes, yes. And he scored 14 points in their last game.
Interesting matchups tonight, Jackson.
Right.
Eddie mentioned Michael Dixon, and he's been playing very well the past few games. scoring a lot of points for them. So that could be a fun matchup, watching Dixon go up against Dundow.
Right.
And see how those two guys do.
And, yeah, you're right about John Pedro is also one of those players that he's a center, big man, but he's been able to put up good points. Last matchup, he was able to bag 14 points. And, you know, Eddie talked about Slimani. Slimani is a force of nature, man. No doubt about that, man. And he's been very impressive.
I can't believe that the way that guy plays at 41 years of age.
You know, amazing.
I think I was asking Downtown Brown. I said, you know, if you had never seen this guy play before and you watched him for the first time, would you think he was 41 years of age? Although Dan did point out that he does have gray in his beard, Jackson, which kind of maybe gives away a little bit about his age.
But right.
The guy still moves. He still moves very well, and
he's very
such
smooth.
A smart player.
Very smart player.
If he knows he's got an advantage on you in the paint, he's going to post you up, and he uses the backboard a lot on his shot. Fun player to watch.
You know, one of the players that he reminds me of about here in the NBA is Luka Doncic. Every time I watch Slimani play, I think about Luka Doncic. Both smart players.
I think they're two high IQ players. Slimani, of course, has played for the Tunisian national team.
Mm.
He's got all kinds of international experience.
I think he's probably
the heart of Monastir.
Right.
What do you think, Eddie? He's the heart of Monastir. He's been, the key player that the team relies on. So I expect a lot from him this time. Like, he has been always performing. And again, they beat Zamalek, the defending champion. So there's high chances that they will be really performing really well at the Bank of Kigali Arena.
Sane, who do you think has more pressure? Let me put it out for both of you, actually. So, Tunisia, Monastir is making its second appearance at the Basketball Africa League Finals 2 years in a row. They lost last time. This time, like in their matchup with Zamalek, they came in with a chip on their shoulder. Do you feel like there's extra pressure on them to win this game, not to be the team that makes it twice to the finals but doesn't make it, that doesn't win the trophy?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jackson. I think even some of the Monastir players, I think Majak, for one, has said that they don't want to leave Kigali without the trophy. I mean, that's their main objective, is to win the title. So I think it would be a letdown for them to lose 2 years in a row. In fact, here's a quote from Majak. This is the same situation as last year. Now we want a different outcome. So, you know, they're back where they were, same venue in Kigali. But, in terms of pressure, Jackson, I don't know that Petro, you know, is, they're such an experienced team.
I have a very good coach.
Yeah, with the coach of the year.
Yes.
I don't know that they're going to, what do we say, that they're going to feel the pressure and maybe crumble a little bit in the final. I just don't see that happening.
For those of you just joining us, this is Voice of America's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm live in the studios here in Washington, D.C. VOA's Sunny Young is in Kigali, Rwanda, together with Eddie Ruwema. They're watching the game live in the BK Arena, renamed BK Arena, but still as iconic as it was before that. Eddie, what is the key for both teams to win tonight's matchup? We've seen them play. They lost their conferences before. What are you looking for them to win? What is the thing that will take them over the top?
I think we're going to expect to the big men of the team to really show up. If Majo can show up, and if Morales from Petro de Luanda can show up together with Lopez, I believe we're going to see a very interesting game.
Mm.
In fact, Majak, who Eddie mentioned, Jackson, you know, we talked about Slimani being the heart of Monastir. Majak is averaging team high, 33 minutes per game for Monastir. So they want him out on the court to be a force for that team.
And the
players are warming up right now, and I think they look pretty loose, Eddie. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see them, they lose their account. It's a final, so I'm pretty sure they're very well mentally prepared to be in this final, and we expect a very entertaining game.
Eddie, what is the mood like in Kigali?
The mood is actually very, 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 very good. The turnout is, very big compared to the few games that we've seen before. All the stands seem to be filling up, and there's excitement. We're waiting for the finals to begin, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be some entertainment before the real final.
Yeah, okay. Jackson, that's one of the things. I think it might be the NBA influence on the BAL that even during breaks in action, especially at halftime, they do want the fans to be entertained. So as a result, we've seen musical acts. There's been dancers.
Don't forget Baba.
I think
forget Baba, Sonny.
Some jugglers too, and your friend the Mopa. That's right. There's I met him last night for the first time, Jackson. Toy the Mopper. Toy the Mopper. Eddie says he's from Angola. And you talk about a guy that can, I thought he was actually going to participate in the slam dunk competition, Jackson, because the guy is really muscular. I mean, he looks like a gymnast.
Wow.
And he's very small. But, yeah, he's sort of he's become a celebrity in the Basketball Africa League because when there's, a player might maybe perspire too much or there's, condensation or perspiration on the court, he comes out quickly and he does his routine very entertaining. But I understand he does not do interviews in English, Jackson. I think he prefers Portuguese.
I tried to interview him, and then he told me he cannot speak English. Yeah.
Well,
I think with his skills, he also needs to get some English skills.
Eddie, you need to brush up on your Portuguese skills,
But Jackson, the other thing I worth mentioning. If you're tuning in right now to the Voice of America, go to voaafrica.com. That's our new website.
Yes, voaafrica.com.
But we posted a BAL podcast on Friday at the website, and you can also see it at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. But one of Jackson's good friends, Brian Karunji, the general manager of the Patriots Basketball Club, was one of our guests, and Jackson, I was really impressed with Brian. Very insightful about how players are acquired in this Basketball Africa League.
Right.
He also had some interesting things to say, kind of off the record, about female coaches and the challenges that they have.
They face in the league,
such as Liz Mills
in a male-dominated industry.
Mills.
Yeah,
I think it was a few years ago, actually. But, sort of a kind of a confrontation that she had with one of the male players, that it is difficult. Brian was talking about how, to gain the respect of some of these male players in the Basketball Africa League. I think it probably is changing, Jackson.
Right.
But it is a male-dominated sport.
Listen, it's a long way to go for Liz Mills and other female coaches that are going to come in the league. But this, I think she's a pioneer, a trendsetter in many ways. But she's playing or she's operating in a very traditional environment where it's going to be tough. It's going to take time. But I think it's encouraging to see that the league is embracing female coaches. Actually, way ahead, far ahead than, their counterparts in Europe or in America. I mean, how many female coaches are in the NBA, or how long did it take for the NBA to embrace female coaches? But the Basketball Africa League in the second year already has a leading female coach, and I think it's going to take time, but, we're on a good track.
And the other thing, Judson, that was mentioned earlier, we tried to find out whether BAL was thinking of introducing, like BAL for women, and they're saying that's a work in progress. And here at the court, we've also seen, women coach, women referees, we've seen female commentators, which is actually a very good sign that they're embracing gender equality in this game of basketball on the African continent.
Now, yeah, that was the other guest on the podcast I was talking about, Jackson, was a Nigerian broadcaster, Rotimi Akindele. And that was the exact point he made at the very end of the podcast, was that I asked him if you were able to suggest some innovations or initiatives to the NBA, what you'd like to see new in the BAL, maybe next year or down the road. And he brought up the exact point that Eddie just did about a women's basketball Africa League. He said that is needed now because of the presence of women in the Basketball Africa League.
If you're just joining us, this is Voice of America's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. The final game kicks off momentarily in Kigali, Rwanda, at the iconic BK Arena, named BK Arena. It was Kigali Arena. Angola's Petro de Luanda takes on U.S. Monastir of Tunisia in a matchup between two legendary basketball franchises. Sonny, you know, we were talking about Slimane, and his age, but his basketball IQ, I think there's nobody on that court, on that field, on that court that is going to match him. And as much as this game is about, physicality, it's also more about the mental, right?
Yeah, you broke up a little bit on our end, Jackson.
My apologies, Sonny. I was talking about
the IQ of Slimane.
Yes. I was talking about Slimane's IQ.
I think he's clearly the most experienced player on the court at 41 years of age. And if I had to pick somebody for Petro who could possibly match him and IQ, in terms of they also have some players that have been around a while. Cipriano. I forgot about Cipriano Olimpio. He's almost the same age as Slimane, 40 years of age, a ton of African basketball experience. So yeah, they would be good in an IQ test for African basketball for sure, Jackson.
Right.
That would be the guy I would say for Petra would be Cipriano.
And if Slimane could use his size to eliminate.
We've been talking, Jackson, about some of the older players in the Basketball Africa League last night. They had what they called the Ball Elevate Showcase, in which some of the up-and-coming young African basketball players, I think most of them were between the ages of 15 and 19, and they took on, in an exhibition game, they played the Rwandan under-23 national team. I don't know the final score, but I think the Ball Elevate team did win by 20-plus points, 20 or 22 points. And these were players that were assigned to the 12 Basketball Africa League teams. And I think they have made a real mark on the league, Jackson, with their skill level. This one player that Eddie and I really like for Slack, Mbaye, he's from Senegal. I think he started most of their games.
Yeah, he did for Slack that game.
Yeah. And so he's a player to watch. There were some other really talented players on the court. Chinyelu, he's a very tall Nigerian. I think there were five Nigerians that played in that game. They made up the core of the team. But I want to mention one guy who I really like on the Ball Elevate side, Jackson, from South Sudan, Malawach. He's a player to watch. 7 feet tall. Maybe a counterpart to Majak.
Interesting.
And he's another young player, Jackson, that great footwork, can move up and down the court. And I think we'll probably see him
next year in the BAL. And Judson, you were talking about entertainment. I see right now a group of Rwandan traditional dancers are probably about to get to the court. So Sonny is going to get an opportunity to also test the Rwandan tradition here at the arena.
That's awesome. I wanted to get in downtown. Danny Brown just joined me in the studios, fellas.
What's going on, guys?
And I wanted to ask him, what do you think about today's matchup? Who are you predicting to win?
Oh, man. I said it yesterday. I think I said Monastir was going to win. It's going to be a high-scoring game, very physical. Defense is going to be the big factor today. Both teams know how to play with confidence and poise. So I'm expecting some high-scoring games, but also really good defense, good stops, good fast-break offense. I'm gonna go Monastir with a plus eight. I'm not going to say number. I'm going to be like Eddie. Eddie doesn't say numbers. He just says plus or minus.
Listen, we're not taking any ambiguous predictions today. We need real numbers. Okay,
real numbers? Daniel? Real numbers? All right, I'm going to go 88-80.
That's very ambitious. Sonny, what do you think?
That would be the second time one team will be scoring 88, because both teams scored 88 during the semifinals.
Yeah, I know. That's what I looked at. I was like, let's try my luck today.
Listen, I think it's going to be a very interesting game to watch. Both teams are dynamic offensively. They have some very interesting players. And I've seen their game grow in the last couple of conferences where they've played. You can see there's a difference in how they have handled themselves on the court. They're gelling much better now. But right. In terms of coaching, I wanted to ask you, Danny, you've coached a little bit some basketball. Yeah. What does it take to be a good coach?
Oh, man, it's not just actually coaching the game. It's on and off the floor. So it could be practice. It's development of players. It's a whole thing of just like trying to teach your players the system you want to run. So if it's a pass first kind of team, you want to make sure you have the players with that can actually listen to you and you can run the right plays and execute them the right way. Mm. And coaching, it's a communication kind of thing. If you can communicate to your players very well of what you want to be done and they understand where you're coming from, that's all it is right there.
Does it put pressure on Tunisia to know that the opponent's coach has just been named this coach?
It definitely can. You know, when you have a coach of the year or offensive player of the year, it adds like a little bit of a light to your head
mentally,
yeah. Like, ah, this is your coach? Oh, come on. You know? So it adds that kind of factor.
Sonny and Eddie.
Hey, Jackson.
Yes.
Jackson and Dan, Eddie mentioned the Rwandan traditional dancers. Just to kind of paint a picture of what the arena is like now, yeah, we're talking about Slimane. Right behind Slimane are three, he's sitting on the bench right now, there are three Tunisian flags. And then if you go to the Petro bench, I see one Angolan flag. And there might be one or two others that they haven't unfurled yet, but it's got a real international flavor.
Hey, Sonny, with
these respective flags here in the arena.
Hey, Sonny, so I remember yesterday you had a guest that came in with some kind of horn. Is there any horns or any kind of sound makers in the stadium today? Really quickly,
like a vuvuzela type.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought they might ban a horn like that, Dan, because of how loud it is. But
right.
You know, the FAP fans were blowing them. They were blowing them yesterday. Dan knows they're loud.
they do add to the energy, especially if the stadium is not full, the arena is not full. They do add to the energy. If you're just joining us, this is Voice of America, special coverage of the Basketball Africa League Finals match in Kigali, Rwanda. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm coming to you live in studios here at the Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Welcome to the land of a thousand hills, and thank you for joining us here in Kigali, Rwanda, the heart of Africa and the capital of African basketball. Well, it's finals time here in season two of the Basketball Africa League as US Monastir take on Petro de Luanda. Two conferences have been completed. In Dakar and Cairo, 37 games have been played. Now the last two teams are standing and ready to enter a game that will decide who will be crowned African champions. The Titans of Tunisia, the Giants of North Africa, who lost in last year's final right here in Kigali, gaining revenge over Egypt's legacy makers, Zamalek. The semi-finals in a turbulent showdown on Wednesday. And Petro de Luanda, the colossal West Coast Giants of Southern Africa, representing Angola. Finished third in last season's league. This is the BAL final of season two, and we're buzzing as we count down to tip off. It really is going to be something special. There are three parts in a trilogy, and this story has yet to be told. So we need raconteurs, storytellers, to guide us to the very end. And one of them is a South African former national team basketball player with lots of experience as a player and as a commentator, Quentin Denason. He's right here next to me. Q, a big night for African basketball. Are you ready for turbulence?
We're set, ready for takeoff, and I think you strap in because it's going to be turbulent, and it's there can only be one. This is what it's all about. 37 games down, you mentioned it, and I'm looking forward to what should be a showcase and one of the best games we've seen in African basketball competition.
So exciting. Our third storyteller is one of Africa's leading journalists who tells a tale, I can tell you. Her name, of course, and I'll say, Murakaza Neza Asha Kumagisha, how are you? Well, she's not here for the moment. We'll catch up with her in a minute. Of course, we've got the drummers here, so let's really enjoy what's happening with this performance here. And then we'll get back to you in a moment. That's the trophy that everybody wants to get their hands on. US Monastir, Petro de Luanda. Usher's joining us right now. Usher, how about this spectacular?
This is absolutely beautiful. It is Rwanda, and the celebration of tradition is always very key in everything that is done in this country, and this is just a good example.
Thank you so much. This group, they're called the Imbakanizi, so as a soloist, dancer, drummers, and the Rwanda National Ballet. This is absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? We love the traditions. Rwanda, heart of Africa, with the heart beating in such a strong way that, well, it's going to turn this into quite an enjoyable evening, I can promise you that.
Basketball is a celebration of lifestyle and culture, and we are allowed to take all of this wonderful celebration, and this is ultimately a celebration. We're at the end of the journey, and the game is about to go, but before that, what we do is this lovely ceremony.
Yeah, let's take a moment and enjoy.
up for the Rwanda National Ballet, Uru Cherereza, and welcome to the Basketball Africa League Season 2 Finals. Tonight, we will crown a new BAL champion. Who will it be? The matchup features Angola's Petro de Luanda versus Tunisia's U.S. Monastir.
Towards what should be a really quite extraordinary evening here in Kigali. That is the trophy that everybody wants to win. And of course... Well, of course, now it's time to introduce the key players, the players who will be coming out onto the main stage to perform, to create what should be a firework night of activity. There's going to be so much great basketball on show here, wherever you're watching around the world, as we see that man, Liani. Liani, incredible player, slim man, 41 years of age. This team of Monastir, they went into the final last year. They lost to Zamalek. They're coming back for more. Atim Majok, of course, originally from South Sudan, representing Lebanon now. Some giants, Keith. They really are.
This is the stage they've worked hard to get to. And Julius Coles Jr. coming in, he had a fantastic outing in the semifinal, going for 19 points, improving the value in his signing. But it's going to be about all 12 players who are going to be a part of this, or rather all 13 players who are part of this U.S. Monastir lineup. And they are certainly one of the storylines for this final. And Tunisian giants are set for battle.
Just Petro de Luanda, they've got the 2022 BAL best coach of the season, of course, with that man José Neto of Brazil, who's orchestrated what has been a climb to the summit. They're at the top of the mountain in the land of a thousand hills. Can they go right to the very top and jump off and say, we are champions of Africa? Will they hear Q? They finished third place last year, just losing out to Zamalek by 2 points in their semi-final battle. But they're here now and they take on US Monastir.
Representing a proud, historic club, a club with a winning history, representing Southern African basketball. And it is definitely going to be the veteran leadership on the team. They've got great leadership on the bench. You spoke about Coach José Neto winning that wonderful award, the BAL Coach of the Season in 2022. But some feel that Carlos Moraes, Leonel Paulo, and Olympia Cipriano, this could be a swan song. And they're out here to try and prove that age is nothing but a number as well.
This is the U.S. Monastir team. Of course, you've got Dixon, you've got Julius Coles Jr., Atur Majok, Firas Leani, and Radwan Sliman. They haven't changed. He hasn't changed that much, Miodrag Perisic. He knows what kind of a team he's got. He knows that he can rely on players off the bench. This is a strong team with a lot of depth.
They have great depth. They've got great experience. Radwan Sliman playing arguably one of his best seasons so far. But when you look at Petro de Luanda, it's Dindao, Moraes, Gonsalves, Gaku, and Jone Pedro. Also a lineup that José Neto doesn't mess with too much. We've seen Moreira come into the starting position and Pedro come out. Pedro picking up the start in the semifinals and did well enough to earn the start here in the final.
Yeah, we just saw the two flags just behind. The last two flags who are locking horns here in Kigali. José Neto, Petro de Luanda, a Brazilian who was the coach of Petro last season. They made it into third place on the podium, of course. He wants to go a step further this time and go all the way. Miodrag Perisic, his second stint as coach of US Monastir. He knows this Tunisian team. Lots of experience. And also, there's a lot of teams who would like to get him as their main man at right across Africa.
I have no doubt that the upper sheep is coming in with thick and fast, but he really loves coaching this U.S. Monastir team. And you've heard and you saw, Robbie, the disappointment in the last year at Atomar Jok in tears. You've seen articles about him and the team talking about earning every inch towards victory. They've taken the last step. They're here at the platform, and it's got to work for them.
Listen, we're having a fantastic time because we have quality players on court, and we've got legends who are off it watching this. It's a big deal, I can tell you that.
All right, it's pomp and ceremony. It's about the fans in the house. We've got a packed arena here in the BK Arena in Kigali, and it is going to be a showcase of African basketball. It should be a tightly contested one throughout. There's very little to choose between the two teams. Basketball royalty across NBA legends, Joakim Noah, Dikembe Mutombo. They've been around the entire week, and they are just as excited as we are.
And gentlemen, I'm just going to quickly bring in the officials, Hortensia Sanchez Carrizales from Mexico. She's the crew chief, and she'll be together with Wael Ibrahim Mustafa from Egypt and Marie Leslie Cherubin from Mauritius.
Thank you so much, Usher. Key parts in this machine that's moving tonight, of course. And they've done a sterling job already. And there's Baba, the mascot, of course. Baba representing the baobab. Of course, a wonderful tree that offers a lot of life and longevity. It really is I'd say a continental symbol rather than just a national symbol.
It has to be a continental symbol. And what he does is a little different, is that Baba is able to throw the ball down and get on the court and showcase some of his skill set, which is kind of unique.
Big time, big time. And look at the fans here. We've got fans. We've even got some Senegalese fans, of course, who are here. We remember those from Dakar, from the Sahara Conference. Oh, we do indeed, making a lot of noise. It's a fantastic festival of joy, sport, and it will be emotional. It'll be an emotional roller coaster. But first of all, this is to be crowned Kings of Africa. Tunisian Giants, US Monastir, Angolan Giants in Petro de Luanda. Who's it going to be?
The matchups are all set. You've got the smallest player, or the shortest player in the BAL, but plays with the large star. Childe Dundao has been outstanding for Petro de Luanda on the floor, providing both defense and as well as some really great offensive output. Gaku Gonçalves, and now we are underway.
Well, Jonah Pedro getting the touch there. But it's straight into the hands of Julius Colts Jr., one of the acquisitions for US Monastir, who's come on strong. He's improving game after game. Sliman off the boards with his first score of the game and the first points on the board for the 41-year-old Tunisian.
He has been a standout on this U.S. Monastir team, and they've leant on those broad shoulders, and he fittingly gets the first score.
There's Johnny Pedro. He's also very dangerous in the paint, as we've seen throughout the campaign, not just in Cairo, but also here, of course. Leani loves to drive, but he doesn't manage to sink the points. Ball back out to Dundao. Dundao tries to get rid of Dixon. Dixon makes a block. Nicely done. Gonçalves gets rid of Dixon. And he goes up, just a very soft touch. The silky velvet hands, and a beautiful score to get rid of that zero.
Surprisingly, no contest on the shot from Majok, who's just looked paralyzed. And Gonçalves made the bucket count.
Sliman outside. Big long-range three-pointer just off the front rim. Salvis gets the ball out. It's into the hands of Moraes. Moraes. Oh, it's a beautiful three-pointer. Something that we'll see. We might see a lot of that tonight from that man there.
Loves the big stage. Loves the big occasion. Carlos Moraes opens up from the perimeter for his first connection from downtown.
A lot of communication from the coaches, especially Neto. Oh, it's a beautiful response from Dixon. Triple from Dan in the corner.
Talking about loving the big stage, Dixon doesn't shy away from big shots and has the knack of making them too.
Gaku. Here's Gonsalves. Gonsalves goes for a three-point shot himself. Oh, it's all happening tonight.
Red hot start for Petro from the outside. Gonsalves locked in.
Coles Jr. spent some time playing in Qatar before he arrived. Goes for a three-pointer this time. It's not one that falls. That's rare. Gundao. Gundao. Tony Petro. Salves. Gonsalves. Into the arc, picked up by Gione Pedro. He's trying to find a little bit of space and turns, but Slimane defending well.
Went to the left hand on the baseline and just slithered off the rim.
Here is Dixon. Dixon. Under a little bit of pressure. Leani out wide to Slimane, down into the corner. Cole Jr. with a shot that just comes off the metal, picked up by Gaku. Quick, fast break, and Dundao, electric pace, goes for a long-range shot himself. It just rattles but doesn't drop, and it's been defended there by U.S. Monastir.
Looking for the quick pickup in transition. Again, just rattles out on that attempt from Dundao.
Big battle here, Majok, Gione Pedro, and they shut out the light on that occasion. And the foul has been called.
Tries to go over two defenders, Majok, in the paint. High pressure on him, not trying to give him too much space and time. They do pick up the first foul, first team foul as well. Gaku gets whistled for it.
Patience and good control, of course, of the ball from Ante Majok.
Just a look at the read from Gonsalves, just around the screen at the top of the key. Can knock down that three.
Ante Majok. Majok. From South Sudan originally. Spent time playing in China, which is this final. The BAL has been broadcast in China, so obviously they'll recognize him. Coming out, Gundao, blind pass out wide. It's Gaku with the shot. He'll try and pick that back up in the corner, and a little bit of pressure and treading over the line, so they'll get possession back, U.S. Monastir.
They put up the most threes in the Basketball Africa League. They averaged the most three-point attempts. They will continue to search for options on the outside first. They tend to play outside in. Just going off the boil a little bit from the perimeter.
Dixon. It's the ball to Majok. Majok up against Pedro again. Majok with a masterclass in dunking the ball.
Statement dunk by Ater Majok. Muscles his way inside the paint, throws down with the left hand.
Moraes on the outside, ducking and diving, finally goes for a big three shot. Pointer three shot in the basket. Bring it on.
That's the perfect reply from the three-point line after that monster Majok jam. And this is high-quality stuff right here.
And that's exactly what we thought would happen. We know that Zamalek were itching to get themselves back-to-back titles here in the BAL, but, well, they got knocked out by U.S. Monastir. There's a reason why they're here, and that's one of the reasons, just looking at that fantastic play there from the Tunisian Giants.
Just a little bit of a breaking play as I think there was contact called off the ball when Moraes made the shot.
Yes, there was, and the foul was called on Layani.
On Layani, okay, thank you, Asher.
Foul on Pedro. Coming back.
You know, there's a lot of pressure on these players, of course, and there's going to be some off-the-ball antics that are going to be taking place. The shenanigans, if you like, and you know, it's going to happen here. It's a final. There's a lot of pressure.
So much pride at stake, but BAL champions will be crowned in just over 35 minutes.
New champions of Africa. And Dundao, it's Majok.
illegal block, I think.
Calling the contact on the screen.
Just look at that. He just backs into Gonsalves, doesn't he? And that's where the infringement was picked up. And you can see, obviously, Drag Perisic quite verbal and active on the side of the court.
We're just tightening up the calls now, and it looks like, again, the indexing on the contact around the screens, and another quick foul that time. I think it is Gonsalves who picks up the foul.
Yeah. I think it's Johnny Pedro who actually gets the foul there.
Pedro, correct. Second team foul. First one for Pedro.
Slim hands to the hands of Majok. Majok looks for options. Johnny Pedro. Chipped. I mean, he's kind of suffocating him. They get the ball back. It's successful on that occasion.
3 second call.
Yeah, just holding him back, you know, making him hesitate. Finally, the ball comes back out. Spent too much time down there.
Looking to go to work again, and they're trying to iso my joke on Pedro, especially after that first statement done. Gonna keep going back to him, and it's the conversation between Jose Neto and Gakou. We might see a change in matchup a little bit in the paint.
And that's indeed Yannick Moreira has been introduced to the game to sort of help with Ater Majok.
If you can deal with Majok, it's not that easy, is it, Asher?
No, it's not.
I mean, he's just extraordinary. But he hasn't really brought his A-game in the paint, you know, since the Tunisian team have arrived in Kigali, because he's been defended so tightly.
He has been defended tightly, but it's opened up the game for other players on this Monastir team, and that's why we've seen Coles Jr., Dixon, as well as Slimane play really well. They have so much depth, and they move the ball, and they'll find areas to score and where they can maximize on offense.
So true. 11-8. Petro de Luanda, three-point lead. 5:14 left in the first quarter. Carlos Moraes, 6 points, 2 from 2 from the
lane violation.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of Angolan fans here. They're absolutely loving it, of course. And we've got a big, big, big group of supporters here in the BK Arena. Newly named just last week.
And talking about Angola, where basketball is the number one sport, they are the 11-time African record champions with the national team. So this means a lot to see Petro de Luanda playing in the final here at the BAL.
And the interesting fact is, Asher, is that Tunisia are the reigning Afrobasket champions from Kigali here last year, as we know well.
Absolutely, and that's why when you see Slimane playing in the final, he has a serious face. It's focused for him.
He's got the game face, isn't he? You know? Yep. If he smiles at you, it's very rare. He probably smiles at you, Asher, I'm sure, you know.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Slimane, there you go, 2 points on the scoreboard there. But what a wonderful player. Slimane is so, so active. He really runs around and dances around like someone who's 20 years younger. Quite extraordinary.
He has been an absolute standout. And without his presence on the team, I'm not sure we'd see U.S. Monastir playing at the same level. And he is, for his age, playing so many deep minutes and doing such a fantastic job.
Dixon just keeping the ball in with that long pass, and it's a good shot from Dixon, coming in with a triple.
Even with all that pressure, Dixon's still able to knock down the contested shot on the baseline.
Yeah, they're all level at 12 points apiece, and they've given the ball away once again. A little bit frustrating this is for Petro Luanda, and it's obviously gonna trigger and instigate a timeout, which is the case. So we'll take a small break. We're all level here for the final of season 2 of the BAL. It's Petro de Luanda 12, US Monastir 12.
You're watching the Basketball Africa League special coverage here on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganya. With me in the studios, Down Tani Brown.
What's going
Yo,
on?
Yo, both teams came out firing from both ends.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, that Majok with that stepman dunk.
Whew.
I feel like, you know, we're in for a really great matchup today.
Yeah, it makes you want to scratch your head because he dunked on his head.
Yeah. Sunny, are you guys, are they on?
No, not yet.
We'll get Sunny and Eddie later on in they're watching live the game at the Bank of Kigali Arena in Kigali, Rwanda. So, you know, based on, I think it's equal now, 12-12,
yep.
Going to their first timeout. How is it looking for you, like, in terms of the energy?
Yeah, they match up perfectly. They're firing on all cylinders to show, hey, this is what we can do first half, and that's what you should do in a finals game. It should be entertaining. It should be three-point after three-point, dunk after dunk, pass after pass, layup after layup. It makes the game, like, a real good finals game to watch.
And doing those little things to get into your opponent's head, you know, because again, this game is also as much mental as it is physical.
Yeah, it is. And the good thing is there's a lot of fans here today, and they're supporting their team.
Yeah, and you know, we can see the arena is full, the crowd is energetic. We saw some entertainment earlier, and they're coming back from their first time out.
I'm going to match up. You're not going to get ahead. No, you're not. I'm going to reel you back in. That's the story so far. A very interesting battle between two giants of Africa, the two top teams. Over to Usha, who I know was listening in to Coach Perisic of US Monastir.
Well, Coach Perisic is just not happy with the way that US Monastir have started this game. He needs them to swing that ball until they get an open shot and just to stay focused in this game.
Gonsalves forcing US Monastir to lose possession, frustrating for them. Focus is important, and US Monastir working really hard. They want this more than anything in the world, Q.
I think both teams want this more than anything in the world, and that's what makes it so fascinating, is very little to choose between these two teams, and they have former African champions on display, guys who have been to the big stage before in continental competition, and this will mean so much to both of these clubs and franchises.
Gonsalves goes up for the three-pointer. It's a little flick there by Johnny Pedro to get the ball into the hands of Moreira. Moreira against Magyar tries to find his way, but it's goaltending, it looks like, and they get the points.
Lovely, patient move by Moreira. He uses the shoulder, turns around on the left, and then goes with the left hand. Magyar was a bit late on it. Credit the two.
Dixon, ball in hand, up against Dundau. Leani tries to weave between the defense. Sliman patiently and then accelerates. Ball comes out. Leani for a big shot, but it comes off the metal. Dundau has it now. Out for the acceleration. Always being, he got rid of his man. Gonsalves, the ball goes out of play. Leani's claiming that it's going to be US Monastir possession. And it is the case.
Trying to be a little bit too clever, Gonsalves. And another look at that beautiful move by Moreira. In fact, went with the right hand, and on the way down, Majok interfering with the flight path of the ball.
Coles Jr., Dixon. Dixon's been shooting some big triples over the past week. The foul has been committed there by Gonsalves. We go straight to the free throw line.
We got to see just how good Dixon is under pressure in the quarter and the semis. And Gonsalves comes in into the shooting space and into his frame. Dixon, surprisingly, has struggled from the free throw line at 57%. But he can consistently hit, probably better from the outside. But here we go, a chance for him. Doesn't matter. The stats tell us a story, but it doesn't always mean that we're going to see that execution on the floor.
You turn that around nicely, if you know what I'm saying. It's like the commentators just get away with that. It's absolutely true. He's brought his A game here to Kigali, which is fantastic because... It's a player who needs to find his place within the ranks, but he's come on strong. He's a starter. He's in the starting five every time.
Well, in that win over Zamalek, Coles, Dixon, and Slimani both had 19, 20, and 21 points respectively. And you feel that if they are to be victorious today, they're going to have a similar output from those three key players.
Misses that last shot. We've got a BAL champion from season one who's on the court now. His name is Solo Diabate of the Côte d'Ivoire, of course, playing for Zamalek last season. This is Moraes running out of space. Ball comes back out. Cipriano's on as well. Off the rim, back into the hands of Sliman, who makes it safe. You will not wrestle the ball out of his hands.
think his hands are made out of wrought iron, I think.
Hard as nails. He is
frustrating for Majok. Tries to spin, tries to find the score into the hands of Johnny Pedro. Tries to get around Majok. Majok doesn't move. And they will get possession, US Monastir.
We saw a couple of great defensive possessions by both Pedro and Monastir. And you see the value of the presence in the paint of Adel Majok. Can scare off even some of the best offensive players. Pedro travels, trying to think about what to do on the offensive end.
Well, Leani going to the bench. And I just want to go across to Usher. Usher, you feel the atmosphere in here is absolutely electric. There are fans, they just stood up. They're so excited about this matchup between these two giants of Africa, right?
This is absolutely exactly what we expected of a ball final. And obviously, we don't have Rwandan representation when you look at the teams, but still the fans came out. There's some that have traveled from across the region in East Africa, but also from across the continent. You have Paco, the celebrated Senegalese fan who is right behind me here.
And that's great. You know, come across, join the festivities, get involved, and party. You know, let's party around what is an extraordinary event. This is the second season. The second season, we've gone to three venues now. Who knows how many venues we'll be going to, locations we'll be going to next season, because it's just getting bigger and better. Every year, it grows in size, stature, and there's so many projects that we'll talk about throughout the broadcast, because that's the way it is.
It's been fantastic, and who knows what season three looks like. Season two has already been a showcase and a celebration and extremely high-level competition.
That will be a foul, team foul number four, I think, for US Monastir. Both on four now. It's Majok who picks up the foul on that occasion. That's his second.
That might be a little cause for concern for Coach Perisic. And you see Layani making his way to the table. And I think Majok probably going to head off the court.
Yeah, and it's a similar situation because Johnny Pedro also on two. You know, we're not even at the end of the first quarter, and we've obviously, you know, seen that there's physical out there, to say the least. Moreira. Oh, he's caught up there, but he does well to get the pass out off the metal. Sliman defends well. Picked up by Dixon. Good opportunity this is for US Monastir to try and get a lead. Extend their lead. And they will pick up the ball there. It was just knocked out of the hands of, I think it was Cipriano, was it?
It was Dendaud. Dendaud was looked like he had lost control of the basketball, but kept it on the baseline and then pass knocked out.
Here is Cipriano. He'll be 40 in September, up against the 41-year-old Sliman. Shot clock going down. Cipriano biding his time. They know they played against each other so many times. Tries to float it over the top. Just comes off the metal. And into the hands of Sliman. There's a big smile between the two guys there. That's a beautiful moment, that is.
In his youth, Cipriano used a lot in the ISO. And perhaps the first signs that we're seeing. But using all of that experience, could not get the score on as even for both players on that one.
Gayaza unable to take the pass, and it goes out of play. They will keep possession, though, US Monastir. We are 54 seconds left on the clock before the end of the first quarter. Time to US Monastir, the Tunisian Giants, the six-time winners of the National League in Tunisia, to try and extend their advantage. Dixon, under a little bit of pressure, and he loses possession. Good fighting, of course, from Petro Landa. That's something that they'll do every time.
Petro don't get enough credit for the work they do on the defensive. In fact, both of these teams really great defensively. They will take away passing lanes, they will contest every shot, and we are seeing what happens when two juggernauts meet in a large profile, or the highest profile game on the continent.
Well, that's really good play. That is from Gerson Domingos. draws the foul. Gayaz is the player who picks up his first foul, I believe. And we go straight to the free throw line because US Monastir on five fouls.
Free throw line was very important in that win over Zamalek for US Monastir. Both teams went to the line for a combined 72 attempts, 34 times it was for US Monastir. And we'll see how much of a factor that is. But so far, it's been a pretty efficient defensive performance by both teams.
Moreira.
Only averaging 16 minutes a game. Has had limited usage. 10 points, though. And 4 rebounds in this Basketball Africa League in Season 2. Sliman gets his first break.
Moreira, of course, he didn't get that basket because it came after the foul that was committed. And that means that he gets 2 shots from the free throw line. And he's on 3 points at the moment.
Only a 40% free throw shooter.
Beautifully sunk. Well, it's going up now, isn't it?
It sure is. The team shoots at around 70% on the season.
16 points each. Liani goes through. Oh, he's unable to sink it. And it's been successfully defended there by Yannick Moreira. And it's Petro who will have a couple of seconds difference on the shot clock, but it's a chance for them to try and get points. Picked up by Cipriano. Moreira. And that's another foul. And this time, I think it's Isamar Nawi.
We've seen Moreira and Lopez get a couple of touches in the low block, and they've gone to the ISO and an opportunity for the post to get to work. And Moreira drawing a foul or either getting a favorable outcome every time. Yannick Moreira played for the Raptors 905 in the G League, was a former NCJAA Junior College MVP in 2012 and All-American, and of course has been with Primero De Agosto earlier in his career, and now here with Petro de Luanda.
And they move ahead. Look at that. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 from 3. Free throw line. And now it's 3 from 4. I was going to say 4 from 4. It's always the case, isn't it? I don't know what's going on. Diabate! Big statement. Drive and score there for the Ivorian. And how about that? They move ahead by a point. And that's the end of the first quarter. Petro de Luanda with 17 points. US Monastir, thanks to this man here, the NBA champion with Zamalek last season, Solo Diabate, 18. We are going to take a small break. We're going to gather ourselves and get back into the slipstream in a couple of moments. Join us once again.
And if you're just joining us, this is a Voice of America's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. U.S. Monastir of Tunisia is playing against Angola. And, you know, Petro did one of Angola. And that last push by Solo Diabate.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Ooh.
Adam, 1 point, 17-18.
Statement.
100%.
End of the first quarter. Both teams are firing from both ends, making statement shots, playing both defensively and aggressive on the offensive. And you know, it's such a great game to watch.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, there's both teams are shooting at a pretty good percentage right now. UNS Monastir is shooting at 42%, 6 for 14 just from the field goal. But only bad thing is they're 0 for 4 on 3-pointers. So they got to increase that percentage up just a little bit. I mean, it's still early in the game. I mean, shots will fall, so no complaints there. And on the other side, Petro de Luanda, they're shooting 31% from the field, 33% from the three-point range. And here's the difference maker is that they're 4 for 6 on free throws, while U.S. Monastir is 6 for 7 on free throws. Mm-hmm. So free throws, they're free. You know, it's 1 point, but you got to make sure you make them.
Make it.
You got to make sure you make them.
Yes.
Because that's a difference maker towards the end of the game. Two missed three throws, you might lose by 2 points. You know, those things
that
which you need the most.
Could 100%. Be the game changer.
Easily, yeah, easily. Yeah.
And we are almost back. It's 17, Petro de Luanda to 18, U.S. Monastir of Tunisia.
Of course, and there's so much excitement here tonight. And already we're seeing just how important it is for both of these teams. They are fighting for everything. There's been some high caliber basketball on show tonight.
Fantastic basketball, but you also see that sometimes stats can lie, and Diabate was a very key contributor late in the fourth quarter when they picked up their win over US Monastir. His ability to pass the ball, his defensive plays, and here he gives Monastir some momentum coming into the second quarter.
Momentum, a key word, and a key word that will be underlined in a big way as we see that man, Moreira. Moreira gets the ball out to Cipriano. Cipriano into the paint, and a little beautiful bucket, in fact. It's a mid-range two there from Yannick Moreira. He just manages to get it over the top. Saw a little bit of light.
Turnaround jump shot on the baseline for Moreira, and high usage right now for Petro de Luanda.
And Leani with a drive through the paint. Oh, the pass is not good enough, and it's Manawi. He just slips, unable to take the pass. Too much velocity, too much speed.
Inaccurate pass. Again, a look at the work of Moreira in the post. Nice touch and using all of that length to get over the defense.
And we get back to the action. We're just going to resolve this small conundrum. But with the clock, everything's good. No, it isn't.
It's going to take a second for the table and the officials to sort out.
It's all about synchronization, Q, isn't it?
It is. It is. Both these teams are in sync. We've seen very little to choose between the two clubs, and fair reflection of their respective strengths, and I don't think it should go too much. We'll probably see more lead changes. We already had five lead changes. They've been tied five times, and I think we can expect more of that as the game develops.
Petro de Luanda just gathering for a moment. Ball Cipriano into the hands of that man, Gerson Domingos, and you can see that Petro just moving ahead by a point. Cipriano finds Moreira, tries to get past Gayaze. You know what he'll try and do. He'll try and get some oil in the machine and turn and spin. But his shot comes off the rim, made safe by Leani. And a big drive. This is what he does so well. It's just extraordinary. Vilas Leani of US Monastir sees a gap, drives through, and makes a signature dunk.
He just has a knack for finding creases in the lane and finding gaps, and what he has another knack for is using all of that athleticism.
Now it's the perfect moment to go and join Usher, who's joined by the NBA Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer, Mark Tatum.
Well, thank you very much, Robbie. Mark, you're welcome to the broadcast. What do you think of the championship game so far?
Usher, thanks for having me. First of all, it's great to see you again. What a great championship game. The environment here is exciting. This building is practically full to see the finals. Two evenly matched teams, the coach of the year in Jose Neto with Angola, three of the BAL all-first team that are on the court right now. So very evenly matched. Both teams were 6-1, came in second in their divisions, and we're seeing that today at the score being 20-19.
Absolutely incredible. How special has this week in Kigali been between the playoffs and all the activities surrounding the games?
It's been so special. This is obviously game number 38. The final game of the BAL season 2. And it's not just the games where the fans have been coming out in record numbers, but it's also all the other activities that we've been doing while we've been in the community. We've had lots of different youth clinics. We've had a coaches clinic. We've done a Threes for Trees initiative in the community. We've done an innovation summit. So the basketball community across Africa and across the, you know, across the entire continent, it's here. And you can feel that energy and excitement.
absolutely right. What's next for this league after a successful season two?
I'm so excited for next season. You know, last season we did the game in the season of the pandemic in a bubble. Here we expand to three different markets, and Dakar and Cairo and now Kigali. And we're looking forward to see the great level of play. The incorporation of the academy players into our BAL Elevate program has been wonderful, and we look forward to continuing to grow fan interest, grow the game on the court and off the court as well.
And finally, let's talk about the fans that come out in big numbers tonight.
It's incredible. The energy in the building is wonderful. There's fans from all over the continent, Europe, America, from everywhere. So it's a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Mark Tatum, for your time. Roby, back to you.
Thank you so much, Mark Tatum. It's been an absolute pleasure. Usher, sterling job as usual. Back to the action. And we're going to take a small break, and we'll be back in a few moments' time. It's Petra Luanda 24, US Monastir 20.
This is the Basketball Africa League action brought to you by Voice of America here. Danny, the energy, the crowd looks amazing.
Yeah.
We've not seen that energy since
Saturday night.
Yeah.
Saturday night game. Big game. It's the finals.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. And that's Baba, the mascot.
Yep.
The new BAL mascot in Kigali, Rwanda. We're watching live here at the Voice of America. You can follow us at voaafrica.com. You can also follow Sunnyside on social media at VOS Sunny. On our screens, we see Soleimani from Monastir. He's about speaking to, the ref. I don't know what's going on, but this is the man who's going to be the difference maker in this game.
He might be also the coach on the floor, too.
Absolutely, given his age and experience.
And back to the game.
It's shifting from one side to the other. Both teams very eager to make their mark, but it's very difficult because we do have two very talented teams with lots of experienced players in national teams, but also, you know, at club level, like these two teams, US Monastir, Tunisia, Petra Luanda of Angola. Very tight tussle here as we see a big long-range shot coming in from Solo Diabate. The Ivorian, Majok, tries to get out of the undergrowth and draws the foul.
Wow, just fantastic rebound by Majok, skying over everybody. It's a battle in the paint, and you're going to see a lot of that. We see him elevate in between the two Petro defenders, and it draws the contact from Moreira. Moreira has been the go-to guy for Petro de Luanda in the paint, and it's a definite strategy. They're going to force Petro to try and cover him. He had a career-high 38 points, 34-14, in an Angolan team win over Australia, and I think he's trying to replicate some of that form.
5 points, three rebounds, three from three from the free throw line. And, well, there's someone who's always in the epicenter of the action. She's always gathering details, information, you know. and every time there's a big three-pointer, well, I'm about to introduce her. Cipriano with a beautiful triple there. We can now go over to Usher because a little timeout. A moment where the players were talking with their coaches. What did you pick up, Usher?
Well, just listening in to Coach Perisic, who was telling his US Monastir players that it's going to be a long night if they don't stick to the basics. They need to just make sure they focus, play some good defense, and with that confidence, they can get on with the offense.
Get on with the offense. Yeah, it's that's the ideal scenario, isn't it?
It is the ideal scenario. And waiting to just see what the call from the teams are, and I think there was a timeout called by the bench, and
It's a referee's timeout, actually. They're going to go have a look at a play, and I think it's going to be about points.
Elhadji Diouf, you might recognize him, Senegal's one of Senegal's finest football players, soccer players in world football, of course.
Well, just to give you a quick update from here, Ortesia is just trying to see whether it was a three-pointer or a two-pointer for Cipriano.
Good. Thank you, Asha. We can see just right in front of the screen there, just look at the playback. Let's have a look at that foot, left foot. Is the right foot on the line? That's the big question.
Well, we can't actually zoom in. It's a little bit pixelated.
Well, but your eyes are not good enough to. Come on, let's sort that out.
From here, it looks like it's a three.
And we'll see her reaction in one moment.
They have some agreement between the officials. And it's a three.
Okay, so we go ahead. So the three-point stand. Let's just have a look at this again. Cipriano, beautiful bucket.
Breaks him down off the crossover. This creates some separation. Fakes the use of the screen, pulls back, knocks down the three.
Yeah, but come on, let's think about it. He's going to be 40 in September. He's done that a million times. He knows where the line is. Come on. He knows that not to go over the line.
Absolutely. He has experience. He's played at the top level in the world, the Olympics, the World Cup, and he's bringing that experience here.
And he's at it again. This time it doesn't drop, but, well, he's brave enough to take a big one from downtown. Madjok picks up the pass and the paint. Coles Jr., this is a three-pointer. We're right. He's right just in front of us, and Leani gets the ball. Sliman rolls it into Leani's hands, and there's Diabate, gets rid of his man and gets rid of another player, trying to run the back pass towards Leani. Doesn't come off.
No, that was poor execution and probably a very poor decision. Sometimes you got to wonder what goes through a player's head, like when that happens.
Definitely. 27-21, 6:40 left in the first half. And this is a close encounter of the African kind. It really is. There's a wonderful battle that's taking place here. Ball's been picked up by Cipriano. Gets another chance to do something. Ah, pass gets intercepted there by Coles Jr.
Cipriano really looking to find his offense here. Only forcing it a little bit.
Leone! Diabate with an imperial pass. And how about that for a beautiful score? Leone just one-handed dunk.
Second time we've seen Leani get into the lane, and that one right on top of the defense. Wow!
And the replay, you'll just understand, that is sensational, isn't it? Leani gets himself into those pockets of space afterwards. Nothing is going to stop him.
Gaku just could not get as high as Air Leani, and Air Leani put the show on for the crowd here in PK Arena.
And they're just reeling that lead back in. It's just a four-point advantage for Petro de Luanda. Coles Jr. takes the pass. Dundau is back on as well. There it is over the top this time. Diabate unable to get it, but there is some contact there, as we see the image, of course, of the BAL president, Amadou Elofau, who is just behind us here doing an interview in French.
There's big trouble for US Monastir as Atero Majok picks up his third foul.
Yeah, that's serious. Yeah. That is serious, of course. First player to pick up three fouls. He's a player you really want on court for the entire game. If they have to take him out and put him on the bench, then that's going to be a problem for that man, the coach, Miodrag Perisic. The tussle and the hustle in the paint is just extraordinary. And Sliman, always the first player to throw his body in the line.
He plays like a captain, and his experience is very important tonight, and leadership as well.
Leani again, look at that! He's extraordinary. Standout performance already, here with 5.5 left to play in the second quarter.
He scored the last 4 points for US Monastir, and you can feel his presence. You remember last year he said the reason they lost was because he played only 1 minute and 57 seconds, and tonight he's showing his importance on the team.
8 points for Leani. A lot of that coming off the slash and the cut into the paint. And he has been highly effective for this US Monastir outfit.
straight to the free throw line. This is good for the Tunisians, getting themselves back into this. And Layani, that's a fine, it's a 3-point score it is for Layani, the 30-year-old, coming on leaps and bounds. But just look at that again, fighting for absolutely everything. Solo Diabate defending that, just seeing exactly what he could possibly do. Carlos Moraes losing possession. US Monastir back with the ball in their hands. Coles Jr. Look at Leani. Just watch out for Leani. He's there every time this time. He can't just drop it over the top. But you can see what happens. Every time he gets into the paint, he's drawing fouls.
Well, very similarly to what we saw from Pedro de Luanda, where they were going to Moreira for some high usage. Leani has been standout, so they're trying to get him as many touches as possible. Gets the mismatch on Moraes, turns and draws the foul, and now forces a timeout.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that, you know, he's kind of replacing Ate Majok, but he's a little bit quicker, you know. He's just got a little bit better acceleration, you know, in his own style. And that enables him to actually move away from his defender quite quickly.
But to go to a cliche, basketball is a game of adjustments. You know, you have to adjust on the fly. So without the presence of your key primary defender, Leani is, first of all, picking up some of the offense and providing an extra option offensively, and on the defensive end, you know, he's known as a guy who can be inside the paint and can guard well and can also pick up some rebounds. 11 points and averaging 11.83 points for just about 23 minutes. We might see a lot more of that because of Ate Majok being in foul trouble, so he'll get a couple more minutes for sure.
You know, and every time that Leani gets himself into the paint, the defense, they're like snapping away like a basket of hungry Nile crocodiles. Can't get anywhere near him, and here he is. He's just taking the pass and doing the damage.
Well, he leads the scoring for US Monastir with 9, and he's still got a chance to go to the free throw line, possibly going to be the first player in double figures for either team. And Petro were in danger of pulling away, but US Monastir just managed to rein them in. And you see the value of a momentum dunk that, since the Leani throw down on top of Garku, they've managed to capitalize on a couple of possessions.
And here he is, that with that signature dunk, just crashing it in, one-handed right-hand dunk there. It's all in the head. Yes, it is.
It's on the head.
It's on the head. It's
on
going
the head
in there.
Of Garku.
Yeah, that's right. 7 rebounds as well. So Leani, and he will go into double figures if he manages to get this shot. And every time that we tee it up, we should just keep quiet. So it's a pretty good run it is for US Monastir, about to go level once again, neck and neck.
Well, they are 8 of 10, or 8 of 11 on that miss from Leani.
And there is double figures there for Leani. Court press here by US Monastir. A little change of tactics. Dundau, watch out for Dundau. Haven't seen too much of Dundau just yet. Still waiting for him to make his mark as the ball goes up. The foul's been committed, and Yannick Moreira gets knocked down by Sliman.
He's a coverage problem right now for US Monastir. Petro off. Really going inside the paint and allowing him to express himself. And much like Leani, he has a chance for Moreira to now get up into double figures. And the other thing that he's doing well is that he's drawing fouls on the US Monastir bigs, putting them in a bit of foul trouble. That's the first on Sliman, but they've got to find ways to try and create some coverage to stop this man inside the paint.
Yeah, and the fact that Johnny Pedro has got 2 fouls, of course, they'll be leaning a little bit more on him. Yannick Moreira, Gaku, of course, with 2 fouls as well. So they've got to be careful. You know, you've got to be, you've got to manage your players and how they are faring out there on the court, which is always quite complicated for coaches. But
shooting 40%, as I mentioned, on the season or in the tournament, try and improve that.
This time Leani with the rebound. That's his 8th rebound so far. On the boards doing his stuff. They get possession back, came off the leg of Moraes, I think. Pedro coming back on. He'll replace Moreira.
They usually are used interchangeably by Coach Jose Neto. It's the first time that we saw them together. It's a rare occasion when they're both on the floor. But interesting rotations being utilized here.
Here is Diabate, the Ivorian, to Slimane. Slimane. Oh, look at that from Slimane. It just doesn't go. Very close, though. Beautiful acceleration. Matthews getting his first moment out on court in this final. As Moraes goes for a drive, off the boards it goes. A little bit of a flap. Diabate, he's got wonderful hands, isn't he? Gets the ball out wide. There's the attempt at the Coles Jr. to try and lay that ball up and in, but it's the foul that's been committed straight to the free throw line.
And that is 15 fouls for Petro de Luanda with 4 minutes 32 seconds to play in the second quarter.
Still so much basketball to be played, of course. You can see that was trying to come around the outside. Gaku just getting in his way. Coles Jr.
And they average about 11 fast break points where they can on the season, and they are great exponents in transition. And that was a good example of what they do. They do limit their opponents to about 9 fast break points when they are playing well.
BAL just attracting some of the younger followers of this wonderful competition here in Rwanda. Everybody's invited to this party, I can tell you that. Doors open to everyone. Coles Jr. gets the second, and they take a 1-point lead. US Monastir fighting valiantly to get hold of possession. Diabate here waits for a little bit of support, but a hand gets in the way. It doesn't find Leani.
Both great defensive plays by Diabate and Ndao on that successive possessions.
Just look at that from Coles Jr. Takes the ball out of the hands of Moraes. Goes up for the basket. It's been flapped away. Oh, the defensive game here is extraordinary. Ball goes out. Gonsalves tries to get rid of Slimane. Goes up for a 3-point bucket. And that is extraordinary. Big scores. Big defense. Big game.
Gotta love the composure from Gonsalves. Faked, wait for the defender to go by him, and then knocks down the important three.
And then watch out for Leani. Leani losing possession here. And draws the foul.
Well, that is an assignment that he was given, Leani, to attack the basket. Coach Perisic saying, just keep asking those questions and see if Petro can answer them. And so far, he's doing well.
He's doing fantastic, isn't he?
Fantastic work. And that three from Gonsalves, fantastic as well.
And the block by Johnny Pedro. That's one block for Petro de Luanda and 2 for US Monastir so far. The initial block that led to the Gonsalves three, quite extraordinary. And Johnny Pedro's defensive game, really top class for the player who was actually born in Portugal, spent time playing in Germany, but of course he was always going to play for Angola, just like his father.
He has been crucial, and love the way that is used interchangeably. Coach José Neto giving him the start in the semifinal, giving him the start today, and then Moreira came in and gave them just a little bit of an offensive edge. And now he's back in, giving them a little bit more inside the paint in terms of defense. Talking about contribution, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 3 or 4 from the free throw line, 3 or 5 on that miss for Leani.
Picked up by Gonsalves. Gonsalves, it's an easy bucket, isn't it? And it's a dunk there for Johnny Pedro. Just dropped into his path. Absolutely buzzing. The Gonsalves-Pedro combination working like gold.
We saw it work against FAP of Cameroon in the semifinal, and it's working again here in the championship game.
Coles Jr. around the outside, loses possession, and they've got a 3-point lead here. Petro de Luanda and US Monastir, they're up against it. Gonsalves, no, he's not going to go for another one. Dundao this time. Dundao!
It won't count.
Unfortunately. And he's a little bit peeved. He's looking out going, oh, come on, give me it. Give me the points.
Well, they've been looking at the movement on the screens, and the call comes in. We'll see if we can have a look. That's a nice pass to Pedro. He throws down for 2. But referee Hortensia just calls the foul, makes the call on the screen, and then we're going to get a timeout here on the floor.
32-29 is the scoreline here
at the BK Arena. A massive big buzz. We'll catch up with Usher in a moment.
You're watching BAL coverage. That's the Basketball Africa League coverage here on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Sunny Yo in Kigali, Rwanda, at the arena where the action is taking part live. But Sunny, you know, both teams have come in with in terms of effort and enthusiasm, firing on both cylinders. But right now, the momentum seems to be on Petro's side.
Yeah, great game so far, Jackson, and the crowd is just maybe the best crowd I've heard throughout this tournament. Just the fans just keep coming in; they're continuing to come into the arena. But yeah, Petro right now up by 3 points, and I don't know; it's hard to say who's in control at this point, Jackson. I'm enjoying it though.
It's a great matchup. Both teams, you know, they know what is on the line, and you can tell they're trying to leave everything on that court today. As we're coming to the end of the first half, it's 3 minutes and 11 seconds in this quarter. We are 32-29. Sunny, we'll come back to you as the action continues in Kigali, Rwanda. We'll get back to you at the half.
The thankless job, the hardest job in the game of basketball, refereeing.
And talking about Hortensia, she's one of two of the first non-native English-speaking referees in the NBA G League, and she brings that here in Kigali to the playoffs and to the BL final.
Usher, who knows all about languages, she speaks 67 languages. It's gone up by 12 since the last time we spoke. Incredible.
I thought
you're
it was
incredible,
76.
Usher.
Oh, wow, Robbie.
Dixon in possession. 3 minutes left on the clock in this half. US Monastir trailing by three. Shot doesn't find its way anywhere near the basket. It's been picked up. Petro Luanda eager to please their fans. Dundao. Shot comes back off. Doesn't redeem himself after not having those 3 points that he went up for just a moment ago. Dixon. Oh, perseverance. Just brilliant.
So skillful. Dixon hangs and able to manipulate that and get the score.
Dundao. Moreira back out to Moraes. Plenty of time for that man. He's doing it again. It's another big bucket there coming in from Gonçalves. Up to double figures. 11 in total.
Locked in from long range. Gonçalves had a hot hand in that semi-final at FAP. And here he is picking up from where he left off.
Solo Diabate, the Angolan fans starting to bounce, starting to buzz in a big way, making a lot of noise. There's a lot of basketball to be played. Sliman going up, and he can't find his range on that occasion. Dundao picks it up, lightning fast. Look how quick he is. Oh, he just gets bumped over there by Dixon on the deck. Couldn't get his layup sorted, but the acceleration, it's ridiculous.
He went to ground hard. He was really looking to draw the foul on Dixon. Lenton probably didn't want to go down as hard as that. And Dixon just not happy. That's Gonçalves locked in from long range. Second one we've seen from downtown.
And is that foul number 4 or 5 for... I think it's...
It's the fourth team foul.
Fourth team foul it is. So, Coach Neto watches on, thinking we're playing the right game against US Monastir, but we can't get ahead, but we're playing the right game.
They've got to continue to play their style of basketball, and they will continue to do that. They'll move the ball around the perimeter, looking for that as their primary option, and then when it's not available, go inside.
Dundao. And they move up to 36-31 with just 1:40 left on the clock before the half. Dixon drops it into Sliman. Sliman, Leani can't pick it up. Made safe at the back by Moreira. Look at Dundao, he's off again. And there's another chance, he's not going to go. This time he goes through the middle. Oh, he's got a fine set of skills, this man. Gonçalves up to 13, he goes.
You've got to ride the hot hand of the scorer. Now they go to Gonçalves, and he is proving all of his worth on the offensive end.
Coles Jr., Leani. Coles Jr. once again, long-range shot. It's a triple that comes off the metal and doesn't go on the scoreboard. 38-31, Dundau, watch out, the acceleration. And just calming things down momentarily. Gonsalves, Moreira up against Leani. Does it go in? It drops. That's a big score. Leani on the ground.
Half cover is going to work and playing with confidence, Moreira.
It's a big, well, it's a mid-range shot there by Coles Jr. Didn't get the points. Moraes picks the ball up. Tries to get past him, slim out. Now it's US Monastir. It's 3-2. He's going to go up. Coles Jr. gets the ball out. Dixon for the layup. Beautiful day.
I think for the safety on the extra pass, there, Coles Jr. Dixon up to 12. Timeout called on the floor with 7-point game. Probably 15 seconds left. It's going to be an interesting one.
Well, it's been interesting from tip-off, I think. That's a big score and a very important score. Just getting himself taking the final pass there, Dixon, and just knocking it off the glass and in. This is tantalizingly close, despite the fact that we see 7 there. It's a timeout for Petro.
I feel like we've seen 3 phases of the game in terms of the way that Petro played. Carlos Moraes picking up the scoring early, you know, started out hot with his 7 points. We saw a phase where Yannick Moreira was running the offense for them, forcing changes of the coverage inside for US Monastir up to 11 points. And then closing out the second quarter was really Gonsalves inside and outside. And he leads all scorers on the floor with 13.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario when you actually see Gaku Pedro both with 3 fouls each and Majok with 3. But Majok, we haven't seen him for the last 5 minutes since he picked up his 3rd, whereas Pedro is on, Gaku is off. They've got similar players and similar in that position, which obviously enables Coach Neto to actually just rotate them so he can rest one while the other plays.
Well, he's got to also protect his stars and see if he can't get them to go on. Here we have FAP basketball fans in the house. And they were here in large numbers supporting the team from Cameroon, who finished 4th after that, in that 3rd, 4th place perfect against Zamalek.
Yeah, exactly, and they totally deserve to make it into the semi-finals. A strong performance that enabled them to battle in, having knocked out Reg, of course, the Rwandan team of representatives, as we get back on court. 15 seconds to go before the end of the half.
Score here, and we get closer and closer to that 10-point differential. Wonder what they come up with.
Well, the instructions are very clear from Coach Perisic to US Monastir: no 3 points on this play.
Yeah, you don't want to concede. Moraes is pretty good at those as well. Oh, that's so close, but it's not good enough. And they did their job, but it was down to Moraes not getting his range rather than a block. It is Petro of Luanda 40, US Monastir 33. We're at the half-time stage of this final of the BAL Season 2 here in Kigali. It's pulsating stuff. We'll be back. You've got to join us. You've got to join us.
If you're just joining us, this is Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League finals being played in Kigali, Rwanda. My name is Jackson Bunganyi.
I'm VOA's Downtown Brown.
And our colleagues Sunny Young and Eddie Ruema are in Kigali, Rwanda, watching the game live. They're not playing.
Definitely not playing.
But we've come to the end of the first quarter. Both teams, right now, Petro de Luanda is up by 7 points. Monastir has 33 points. Petro de Luanda has 40 points. Momentum seems to be on the side of Petro de Luanda coming, you know, going into this end of the first quarter. Both teams have played some really great basketball, but, you know, momentum seems to be on the side of Petro de Luanda. They want this. They want this really bad. U.S. Monastir does not want to lose for the second time. And they come, this is their second showing at the Basketball Africa League finals. Last year, they lost to Zamalek. They beat Zamalek this year in the semifinals, made it to the finals. And they come into this with a little bit of pressure, with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They don't want to go home without the trophy. But Petro de Luanda is giving them a run for their money. Sonny, can you hear me?
Yeah, Jackson, I got to give you credit because you did say that Petro seemed to be taking control a little bit with the momentum, and they did put some separation between them and Monastir in the closing minutes of the second quarter. One factor, perhaps, Majak, I think, picked up his third foul for Monastir, and he sat, I think, at least the last 5 minutes of the second quarter. But Petro looking really good right now. I'm looking at the scoreboard. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Marrera, the veteran guard, with 11 points for Petro de Luanda. Goncalves with 13 points. I think he is the team high scorer for Petro de Luanda. But, exciting contest. I really think this might be the biggest crowd we've had. The only other crowd comparable that I can remember might have been for the Reg FAP quarterfinal. Mm. We had a lot of Rwandan fans at that game, but as I said, you know, the fans continue to stream into the iconic BK Arena. And I do want to keep saying Kigali Arena, but we'll go with BK.
it's going to be tough to adapt to the new name, but, you know, we'll do it. But, you know, I guess it still retains its iconic nature in that city. Now, Sonny, you know, this is not a game for sloppiness. And you talked about how Majok was frustrated on the sideline sitting out. But, you know, this is a game where you bring your A game, you know?
Yeah, great point. You got to keep your composure and try not to pick up those fouls. Majok, by the way, I might have mentioned this in the pregame show, he was on the court for, like, I think he was averaging 33 minutes a game for Monastir, top among the team. So they need him out there on the floor as an interior presence. But, you know, there were some great shots in that first half, Jackson and Dan, but one of my favorites, I think it was Dixon. It looked like he drove, but he kind of faded away as he drove to the basket and banked it in. It was just a great shot.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's been a lot of great plays so far.
Absolutely. Dixon is bringing his A game. His last game was not as good as this. Danny, what are you seeing on the side of Petro de Luanda? Why have they been able to create this gap with a great team like Monastir?
I mean, if you just look at the second quarter alone, it was 23-15 in the second quarter. A lot of the points came from fast break, swinging the ball around, and hitting the open man. And we saw that in the second quarter. They didn't break them down defensively because U.S. Monastir is a great defensive team. It's just Majok had foul issues, and they took advantage of it. So hitting the open three, driving, and hitting the little bounce pass to get a layup in, that's how they're taking the game away right now.
And, Sonny, you know, Monastir has to find a way to eliminate that three-point opportunity because we saw, you know, Goncalves hitting the threes, and they've been quite effective with the ball. And I wonder if that's what the coach will be talking to them about during this break, about trying to eliminate the three-pointers and the drives we've seen on the side of Petro de Luanda with the kind of energy they're bringing.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jackson. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm guessing Petro has made more three-pointers than Monastir in the first half. They do seem to be moving the ball around well. They're going to have to make some adjustments, I think, Monastir in the second half. But Dundal, only 3 points, but he's a creator. He's really keeping his teammates involved. There was one play where I thought he was going to take the shot, going to take a three-pointer, but he went inside, and it resulted in a foul shot for one of his teammates. But, he's a fun player to watch, Dundal.
And it's a fun game to watch this highly energetic matchup, the Basketball Africa League Finals. Downtown Danny is going to break down the stats for me here in the studio. Danny, what you got?
So Petro de Luanda is shooting 41% from the field of 13 of 31. And they're, for the 2 points, they're 7 of 15, shooting 46%. 3-point range is 6 for 16, which is 37%. And then from the free throw line, 8 for 13 at 61%. And Monastir, 11 for 29, shooting 37%. And then for 2-point ranges, it's 11 for 21, which is 52%. And then the big one is they're 0 for 8 on 3-pointers, which is equaled up to 0%. Mm. And then free throws are 11 for 16 at 68%.
You know, we've seen, you know, Petro knocking down some of those threes and layups and, you know, overall dominating in the paint. And right now, they're more dynamic offensively than their counterparts, Monastir, right, Sonny?
I like that description, Jackson. Dynamic. They do seem more dynamic at this stage where we're through one half of basketball. And we talked about it, Jackson, in the pregame, that whether Petro would have some nerve playing in their first Basketball Africa League final, but they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And they're a deep team, just as Monastir is a deep team. But, right now Petro looks in good position, but it's only a 7-point lead. And with a 3-point shot, that can evaporate pretty quickly. So I'd like to think Majok will come back probably to start the second half. We'll see.
And which team is commanding the crowd right now in the arena?
I have to say the Petro fans are, Jackson. They after every basket that Petro makes, you know, just lots of cheering and yelling and screaming. In terms of national flags, they seem to be about even. I think I see four Angolan flags behind the Petro bench, and at least three, maybe four Tunisian flags behind the Monastir bench.
Yeah.
But yeah, great crowd. This might be the most energetic crowd we've had during the Basketball Africa League.
I love it. You know,
worth a reminder for our Voice of America listeners that the iconic BK Arena will also be hosting the finals during the 2023 Basketball Africa League season. The Rwanda Basketball Federation and the Rwandan government, they signed a 3-year contract with the Basketball Africa League to stage this marquee event in African men's club basketball. And Jackson, you know Kigali better than I do, but I think the Rwandans have done a great job hosting the tournament.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And, you know, the fact that they've been able to, put on a show, they were able to organize it during a pandemic last year. They had some sort of a bubble of their own. And this year, with the crowds coming out, you know, really great organization, the entertainment during the half times. It's been spectacular in everywhere possible, and I think this is a really big win for the country as they look to organize the last one. I think they have one more year to host Basketball Africa League. And just to remind our listeners, by the way, this year, the top 8 teams from the league's Sahara and Nile conferences competed in a single elimination playoff. And today we are watching the finals between Petro de Luanda and U.S. Monastir of Tunisia. If you're just joining us, this is a Basketball Africa League coverage on the Voice of America. You can follow us on voanews.com. Follow the action on our Facebook and Twitter handles at VOA Africa. We are also on YouTube where you can watch our videos. Just search VOA Africa, BAL, and you'll watch those games. Sonny, it's been such a roller coaster ride for you. You and Eddie in Kigali, you guys have done A great job, brilliant job covering this. Obviously, we know our team here in Washington, D.C. has also, you know, helped along. But what would you say are some of your highlights so far?
Well, I got to say one of my highlights was getting a chance to talk again with Luol Deng, the great African basketball player from South Sudan. He received a Legends of African Basketball Award, and he stopped by. Eddie and I were in the right position as Deng walked off the court, and so he was kind enough to chat with us a little bit about his role as president of the South Sudan Basketball Federation. Jackson, I also enjoyed chatting with Brian Karungi, your pal from the Patriots Club of Rwanda. They were in the Basketball Africa League tournament last year. I think they finished fourth. Brian was talking about how J. Cole brought with him to Rwanda, I think he said several thousand pairs of sneakers, those J. Cole Puma sneakers, and he handed them out. I think he said at least 1,000. Maybe I might be a little wrong on the number, but I think Brian said about 1,000 pairs of sneakers that he gave to his teammates last year, which is a great, great gesture.
Absolutely.
So we don't really have that. We don't have that J. Cole, you know, charismatic star playing in Basketball Africa League Season 2. But in many ways, I think the quality of basketball has stepped up. Another highlight for me, Jackson, was it's the people, really, the people that I've met. Was meeting the head coach of the Cape Town Tigers, Relton Boyson, just a great guy. They got crushed by Monastir in their opening game. They lost by almost 40 points, but Boyson was kind enough again to talk to me and Eddie after that rather humiliating defeat. And Cape Town is an area where basketball is not the most popular sport. Soccer, of course, or football being the king in Africa. But I think basketball is making inroads, Jackson and Dan, because of this tournament. Mm. I think you're going to see more African boys and girls looking at basketball as an option.
There's no doubt.
In sports.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. The game is... There's so much enthusiasm by, you know, among young people to the game of basketball in the last 5 years than I've ever seen in my whole lifetime. And traveling around the continent, you see a lot of basketball infrastructure coming up. And I think that's, the continent being the youngest Africa, I think the majority of Africans are under the age of 25. And that tells you that the NBA was very intentional in creating this league because they know that that is a market that is...
You're right. You're spot on, Jackson, about the youth market.
Mm. So we are about to start the third quarter of the finals. We are watching here in studio. Players are back on court. I see Majok. I saw him walking around. I don't know whether he's back in, but he might be the guy that makes a difference for his team. He's been very effective, and now the game is about to start. Third quarter, Basketball Africa League, VOA Africa. Let's go.
Thanks, guys. Back to the action. Petra Luanda 40, US Monastir 33. Coles Jr., Leani. Leani just backing into Gaku. Majok, two-pointer mid-range. Beautiful score. Beautiful score indeed.
He's shown the ability to be able to knock down both long-range and mid-range shots, and that's a nice start for Petro and, or rather for US Monastir and that man, Artur Majok.
Ball comes out to Dundao. Moreira, Dundao. What options does he have? Yeah, it's just a giveaway, isn't it? Little mistake there from Dundao.
Just an error on the screen again. Moreira gets called for that one, and interesting that Coach Jose Neto has gone with the reverse of his starting five and brought Marrero back in place of Pedro.
Might be because of the two fouls scenario, because he's got two and Pedro's got three. Dixon with a shot that just comes off the metal. And once again, you can just see that just draws the foul straight to the free throw line. This is a perfect start for US Monastir.
He's facing that 7-point deficit. Nice that they could just come in, hit the one open shot, and now a chance with the game clock stopped to make further inroads into that lead. This is the leading scorer for US Monastir, Michael Dixon, 15.17 points per game. He's 57% from the free throw line. And he's going to need to play big here in these final 20 minutes, or 19 minutes now.
Petro Luanda with Gaku taking the ball into enemy territory. He has that man, Maurice Salvis. Here he is, Dundau gets the ball out. Gaku, loads of time for Moraes. Moraes, beautifully done. Swing it around, make the pass, get it back to the man who's got a little bit of space.
Starting out the same way he started out the game, comfortable from the perimeter. That's three-pointer number three for Carlos Moraes.
And still 0 3-pointers for US Monastir out of 8 shots. Their range is not good. Slimane needs to come to the floor when he's on the floor.
Someone's got to find some touch from beyond the arc.
Just running a little bit. Loose the ball from out of the hands of Moraes. And 8:28 in the third, and we've got a 6-point lead. You can just see what happened there. That's beautifully done. Dundau is such a deceiving little beautiful player who just manages to creep around. He sucks in the defenders, gets the pass out wide, and just see what happens.
Playmaking of the ice holder, shifting the defense, and that's just great team basketball.
Dixon goes up. It's rattles the metal, but it doesn't drop. Dundau, Gaku, Moraes. He's got Moreira just outside of him. Goes for the three-pointer himself. It's just front side of the rim. And taken and picked up, collected, tidied up by that man, Majok. Majok, of course, on 3 fouls, so he has to be a little bit careful. There he is, firing in a long-range shot from down near the baseline.
That shot really a reflection of his foul situation. Maybe not comfortable just dipping the shoulder and looking for that physical play, but trying to stay involved in the offense.
And going out wide. He's been the master of scoring so far, Gonsalves, but he's coming up against Majok there. It's a little bit complicated. Shot clock down to 1 second, but it doesn't matter. Gonsalves just produces the goods with a beautiful triple.
He's got the hot hand. You don't want to leave him open at all. And he continues to pile on the points from the outside.
US Monastir passing the ball out. Majok just inside. That's another big score. I think it's a 3-pointer.
Who would have put money on the fact that Majok, the big, would be the first one to knock down a long-range jumper, and he gets into 10.
3 points, 8 of 19. That was the first 3-pointer out of 11 for US Monastir. Just to give you an idea of just how their shooting hasn't been coming. Gaku this time. Sorry, I lost my words because my eyes were big because I was watching Gaku produce that cracking shot there, 49-40. That's the biggest lead that Petro Luanda have had, and with 6:32 left in the third quarter.
Back up to 9 it goes, and it is that three-point line that is proving a point of pain for US Monastir.
Now, the trouble is that Petro Luanda, they've got 3 players on 3 fouls, 2-on-2. They need to be really careful. Leani's 3-pointer. Massive score there for Leani. He's up to 14.
It's so strange. Basketball just really a conundrum. Seeing one go through, he'll find the teammates, find some confidence, and they knock down as well.
Moraes out to Dundau. Moreira up against Majok. What's he going to do? He's going to try and shrug him off. He tries to drop it in, but to no avail. But Majok
picks up his fourth foul.
That's really great recognition by the Petrol offense. They were looking for that ISO on Morera and Majok. Majok is going to go and plead his case, but he's picked up this fourth foul. And that's going to be, I think, him going to the bench. You see the frustration from Coach Perisic leaning in, going to the jump hook. A foul called, and this is the long-range ball from Layani.
Wow.
It is good scouting from the Petro de Luanda coaching staff to target Atera Majok and make sure they take him out of the game as early as possible. And it's working so far. He's frustrated by the calls from the officials. But for U.S. Monastir, he really has to calm down and see how to get back into this game.
But Usher, you know, when I actually look at the number of fouls of the different players for Petro de Luanda, they could play the same game. They're in a much more difficult position, in fact, when you actually see Petro de Luanda with those three players on three and two on two. So Majok with four, okay, that's bad. But they can play that game too.
Well, Robbie, you talk about Petro. They are a team with depth. Absolutely everyone on that bench can play and deliver like the ones on court.
That is very true, Usher.
Well, they've also chosen the right guy to foul. And it's always a game of percentages. Morera, I said earlier, a 40% free throw shooter, and was 3 of 6 before this. Slimat back in. Majok is going to have to go frustratedly to the bench. Slimat going to try and get himself going offensively. Has to do it here for U.S. Monastir.
But I think that, you know, when you look at the well, Gaku, and Sliman's going to pick up a foul for that, because I think that it was all over Gaku. The hands went up. There you can see it was a little bit of bear hugging going on from the 41-year-old, and he knows it.
Wherever Sliman is, he's known for his physical style of play. The Golden players know him well, and they will play a little bit with the visuals and try and extract as many opportunities for the referees to make calls.
Now he's on Moreira rather than Gaku. It's interesting, isn't it? Here's Dundau. Waits for support, but shot clock down to five. Need to try and get themselves a shot going in. Gaku. Oh, he loses possession. Sliman picks it up. It's going to be Coles Jr. Oh, the loss of control from Coles Jr. The American unable to deal with that.
You can feel Sliman willing Coles Jr. to just hold on to that pass. Was unable to reel it in. Just looked up, lost concentration for a second, and cost him the possession.
It's been a very tough afternoon
for Baba.
Coles Jr.
Baba, the mascot. Because he's right behind you, Asher. That's right.
Baba is having a lot of fun today.
Sorry, carry on, Asher. I got in your way. I do apologize.
It's okay. I love Baba.
Baba is amazing.
Well, I was saying that Coles Jr. has had a long afternoon. He's just had 1 point on the board, and that's very unlike him.
Crikey, just look at that hustle. That is a massive, massive battle there. Sliman and Carlos Moraes just getting tangled up in a big way. It didn't come out for about 3 seconds.
This is just a little bit of physicality and niggle coming into this.
When we talk about, sorry, Q, to catch a shot, it is the captain's battle when you see the two veterans fighting out.
They are experienced, they're veterans, and there no love lost between the two teams. They're going to play hard. They're going to continue to get physical inside the paint. And the referees, I think, is going to start calling it just a little bit tighter here.
Yeah, but that's his third foul. And it's his two fouls in the space of 2 minutes. It's not good, because we've still got another quarter to play, and we're not even into the second part of the third quarter. Giving the ball away. Frustration.
We've seen the play get a bit scrappy from both teams just in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's one of those real arm wrestle third quarter scenarios, isn't it? Dixon, who's going to take control? Who's going to get their finger on the pulse of this third quarter? Points from turnovers, 11 to 7. Battle on the ground once again. Just look at this.
Just before that, 15 turnovers being forced from this Petro outfit.
Well, it's Petro who regained possession here, having lost it just a few moments ago. And just over 5 minutes left in the third quarter. And Layani will go and try and put a bit of pressure on Gaku. with Gonsalves getting the ball out to Moraes. Gakou, his father's from Guinea, of course. We had Slack from Guinea, who are one of the quarter-finalists here. Gonsalves, shot clock down to 6 seconds. A travelling call there on Moreira.
I thought Gonsalves could have looked at Moreira just again because Slimane is skating on thin ice in terms of foul trouble, and they should have gone to him to see if they could get a fourth foul.
And they didn't. 49, Petra Luanda, 43, US Monastir. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Basketball Africa League live coverage on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi.
I'm Downtown Brown.
Downtown Brown. Things are looking right now. It doesn't seem that Monastir has done much in terms of like kind of narrowing that gap between you know, because at the end of the first half they were seven points behind. And now they're 6 points.
Right, they're fighting.
But really, you can see some of the frustration coming through. Slimane.
Yeah, he is slowly building.
But we're talking about, you know, that maybe in the fourth quarter, that's when we, at the end, that's 100%. When we see experience come through.
And I'm going to tell people ahead of time, get your popcorn. Get your cold drink.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter is going to be one you don't want to watch. You don't want to miss.
You don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, the one thing I do have to mention is that, you know, frustration can make a team, their whole team, frustrated. When Suleiman gets angered, everyone gets a little bit more
especially
antsy.
With his position, he's
exactly.
Leader.
He's the leader.
He's a, you know, the oldest.
He's a young guy. You know, he might be 40, but he looks like he's 20-something.
But he's quite influential on the court
exactly.
and off the court.
Exactly.
If your leader is showing frustration at this point in the game,
right.
then kind of that seeps through into the rest of the team.
Yeah, and then he might cause his teammates getting foul trouble.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the coach, I'm telling him, hey, calm down, work the ball around. There's no need to do too much right now.
Mm.
You know, if the refs call a foul, just keep it playing. Just, you know, you'll get the bucket or you'll get a good defensive stop next time around, you know.
And as a coach, obviously, this is the point when you start creating those right matchups between the players.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because now they're feeling each other a little bit more.
Yeah.
So back to the game, 49-43.
Well, tactics, it's all about tactics, and Anusha knows about tactics because she goes and spies a lot. She was spying again, Q. Usher, what did you pick up? Just don't tell anybody apart from us, okay?
Well, I'm not giving you any tactics today or just right now, and I'll just tell you what Solo Diabate just told his US Monastir players and teammates. He said, guys, we're just down six. There's a lot of playing time here. And you have to believe the Ivorian man. He knows a thing or two about winning a BAL final. He won last year with Zamalek.
Yeah, absolutely. And he played with the Cote d'Ivoire, and he battled out and played some big clashes against major teams. This is Dixon, who just drops it. It's a lovely look to the left there, Q, just to decoy his manoeuvre. And then he obviously goes for the points. It's a four-point game now.
Fantastic high-pressure finish, and they are now back within four.
So tight. Dundau, Moreira. Petro de Luanda losing possession here. It's been picked up by Marnawi. Marnawi missed the first game, but missed the quarterfinals, came back into the semi-finals. He sees the gap open up. And honestly, they're looking around, the Petro players, saying, what was going on there? We should have really defended that. Who was meant to go and defend it?
That was a great read, Dundau. And the...
Yeah, I think we should have seen better defense on that last play.
Yeah, two back-to-back points.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was hoping something, you know, a little bit more defensive, but their offense is firing right now.
Monastir has narrowed that lead from, you know, earlier was 6 points. It's now 2 points. They've made some really big buckets in the third quarter with 3:51 minutes to go. This is where experience comes in.
Yeah, 100%. And I thought that frustration was going to give it to the team, and it did, but on the offensive end.
Right.
And I thought it might get them a little bit more antsy on defense, but they're playing a little bit harder, and then like they want it more in the third quarter. Maybe this can actually lead to the fourth quarter too,
right.
giving the team more energy.
A lot of things that make a difference in, you know, at this point in the game, with so much pressure, with so much on the line, is mm-hmm. the coaching.
Yeah,
the coaching. And if I wish we had like a fly on the wall to see what to hear what those coaches are.
Yeah, I know, right?
Little now.
Play call, yeah, something.
Yeah. Talking of Jose Neto, Usher, we're with the Petro team.
Yes, absolutely. Just trying to listen into the 2022 BAL Coach of the Year, Jose Neto, saying that they need to see how to drive into the basket, get some fouls, but get some work done, and, you know, increase that lead on the scoreboard.
They're being very physical, aren't they, US Monastir? And just using up time, of course, and not allowing them to make the pass or to get the shot in. But when you've got that man who gets his hands on the ball, anything is possible. And Salvis with a big three-pointer.
He has ice in his veins right now. That was a big-time shot. Just created a little bit of separation, and he is knocking down jumpers at a high percentage.
And who is matching him but Manawi this time? And he pushes his tally up to 5 points. Back and forth we go. With 3 minutes left on the clock in the third. Johnny Petro comes back on. Three fouls to his name. Into the hands of that man, Gerson Domingos. And the battle and the tussle, and they lose possession. US Monastir winning small battles now. And they'll like that.
Manawi has provided just a little bit of an offensive injection. He's also who brought some energy to the floor, and you can just see him. He's excited. His body language is positive, and it's having a positive effect on his teammates.
And the big, big thing, big news is Johnny Pedro on four fouls, of course. And you can see that Yannick Moreira is just trying to get himself on, but he's not coming on just yet. They're taking a risk in keeping Johnny Pedro on the floor for the moment. Sliman. Leani, it's a two-point game. There's a travelling call on Leani. Frustration for the player, the second highest scorer in this US Monastir team.
Crucial possessions, every one of them count. And we talk about time pressure starting to have a factor. There's still a lot of game time left, but players will be aware of the value of each of these possessions. Gonsalves takes him to 19.
There is a change, of course, and there is Gonsalves. Big, big performance for him tonight. And Johnny Pedro making way for Yannick Moreira. Oh, he's just nearly got his hands on that. Gayaza. And it's US Monastir take full advantage. It's a brilliant bit of a skullduggery taking place there by the boys from North Africa.
Yeah, a couple of big plays down the stretch against Zamalek, and here he is playing the same kind of role, Diabate.
That's nicely done. He literally hit the ball in his pocket, didn't he, Gonsalves, for that one?
Well protected, and left hand is red hot.
Dixon, 54-52, 2:11 left on the clock. Before we enter that fourth quarter, Dixon with a massive three-pointer there. Triple on the scoreboard. We're all level. I think it was two, in fact. 54 each. Gonsalves
just inside, but still a big-time high-pressure shot from Dixon.
That's a good drive coming in there, and the foul has been committed. Gayaza, he'll pick up his first foul.
We've got a little bit of outside shooting and some exquisite play from Gonsalves, but this time going back to the man who's been pretty good inside the paint, Yannick Moreira. And he's going to go back to a place that he has struggled from, a free throw line. Just a little push up with the right, and then finishing with that trusted left hand.
Moreira with 11 points so far. He's one of the players on three fouls, of course, in this team, alongside that man, Gaku.
Free throws for Moreira. You see around the 40% mark, 44% right now.
And this time he's good. He gets his pair of points there, 55 56-54, in fact, the score, and 1:45 left. And some very tight basketball being played here. Both teams deserved finalists, of course. Gaya's into the hands of Sliman. Sliman, can he do something here? Doesn't get his range. It goes straight up. And Moreira! What a massive dunk there. Yannick Moreira. Bring it on. Making some noise here in Kigali.
We've seen statement dance from US Monastir. This is Pedro's own version of it. Yannick Moreira out on the open floor. And it's really the pass from Gonsalves. Moreira skies up. Tomahawks it down.
Crash it in, smash it in, make it yours. Pumped up, fired up, ready to rock. Petra Luanda take a four-point lead. There is a timeout, of course, which will give these players a little moment to think about, prepare themselves for what's next, because I've got no clue what's coming up, Q.
I'm VOA's Downtown Brown, and I know you just saw that dunk on the fast break. The funny thing is, I actually had to get up out of my seat because I fell out of my seat. as interesting that was, Petra De La Wanda is up 58-54. Oh man, this game is this finals game is turning out something really special. This might go down in one of the books as one of the top games we'll probably see in the past two seasons of BAL. Now, let me just say one thing. If I'm Petra De La Wanda, keep the same energy. Now they're talking trash to each other. Now it's more entertaining. Now it's getting to that last little bit, that grit grind you need. The energy you need to save it for fourth quarter. The fouls you got to relax because fourth quarter is about to happen. The popcorn is about to be popped. The soda is about to be full to the brim. You need to get everything ready before fourth quarter. We got a minute and 27 seconds left before the fourth quarter starts. It is turning out to a good one. Let's get back to the game.
Deliver on this possession.
Let's see. Leani. Dixon downtown. Leani with the rebound. And that's a foul. And that's a foul by Yannick Moreira. And Moreira will now have four fouls, just like Johnny Pedro, it looks like, which is serious. And it's five team fouls as well, Asha.
Yes, it is five team fouls for Petra De Luanda. So from now on, for the remaining 1:16 seconds, every time they foul, they'll go on the line.
Now Pedro Gaku with the four fouls. Herrera picking up that third. Going to force some interesting rotations, especially down the stretch.
There's a lot of game reading in this fixture. It's obviously the BAL final, and helping Coach Jose Neto on the sidelines is Mary Andrade, who is the first black and African woman to coach an NBA G League, which is the Birmingham Squadron, an affiliate of the Pelicans.
There's Leani there, 58-55. And 1 minute to go in the third quarter. And that's Gonsalves, who actually picks up his second foul, 21 points in the bag. Sorry, Gonsalves going to the free throw line, I do apologise. I know that both teams on a five-team fouls, of course, Asha. This is really, really tight, isn't it?
It is tight, but it's also something you pointed out earlier. This game has been physical, but in the third quarter, both teams have stepped it up and playing good defense, but also making sure that it's not easy for the opponent to score.
Six from downtown and misses a crucial free throw.
Yeah, what the interesting thing is that at US Monastir, you know, although they've got Matic, who's up to four, all of the other players, you know, there's only one other player, Slimane, with three, because he picked up those two. Just out of pure frustration, Gayaza tries to turn and spin and get himself up, and there's another foul, and this time, I think it is Albert Clark-Matthews, unless it's Yannick Moreira. If it's Yannick Moreira, serious.
It was Jason Gonzalez who picked up that one.
Jason Gonzalez, sorry.
His third personal foul. Both teams are in the penalty.
Now we're coming off the ball. And this is going to be a tactical game going into the fourth quarter queue. Just because we see these players who have fouls. You know, foul trouble obviously means you can play a different kind of game. The physicality and the really hard defending will be a ploy that will be introduced, I imagine, going into the fourth quarter.
And we might see defenders maybe selling the flop a little bit and trying to draw the call from the referee. It's going to definitely be a part of the narrative in the fourth.
High drama, guaranteed. 35 seconds to go. Salvis has the ball in his hands. Solo Diabate defends in a big way. Paul Gayaza just getting in the way. Taps the ball out of play. They get possession on the sideline.
Trying to draw increased coverage here, Gonzalez there. They're trying to keep the ball out of his hands because he's had the hard hand on the offensive end.
Paolo back into Gonzalez. Well, that's beautifully done. Gets rid of Diabate. Gets the ball back out. Opportunity here for Matthews. Matthews with a big shot. Comes off the metal. Picked up by Gonzalez. And Matthews has the ball again. 11 seconds. No. Less than that. It is now, anyway. Shot clock down to 3.5. Got to get your shot in. Gonzalez, surely not. Oh, it comes back out. Another opportunity. There's the shot. It's gone in. It's out there. No, it's not. It doesn't go in. It's not a buzzer beater. Close, but not close enough. Tantalizingly close. It doesn't get closer.
It doesn't get closer, and that would have been a really big score. You see the shot from Gonzalez. The tap back. Moreira couldn't hold. And Dominguez up. And right place, right time, just a tad bit late from Matthews.
So there we have it. Albert Clark-Matthews unable to sink those two, so it's just a two-point game going into the fourth quarter. This is so, so close. 59 points for Petro de Luanda. US Monastir 57. We're just getting clarification from, of course, Hortensia Sanchez Corrales of Mexico, just to make sure that it was outside of the buzzer, and then we'll just get straight into the break. But let's clarify the situation, which is great.
We continue to see the referees trigger the instant replay system and just getting confirmation that the red light goes on when the clock gets down to zero. And you see them just taking their time and confirming that what they saw with the eye test is actually there visually on camera.
They're in agreement, and it is that call indeed from Hortensia Sanchez Corrales. It is 59, Petro de Luanda 57, US Monastir. We're going into a break. We'll be back in a moment for the final quarter here in Kigali of the BAL.
You're watching the Basketball Africa League finals here on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm in studio with
Downtown Brown.
And in Kigali, Rwanda, we have Sunny Yang and Eddie Ruema. Action packed.
I'm not gonna lie, I need a fan in here. Because it's getting hot in here.
It's getting hot in here.
I fell off my chair already in the third quarter. I need a fan in the meantime. I can only imagine what the fourth quarter going to do for me.
I don't blame you, man. I do not blame you. But listen, this is the kind of basketball we want to watch on this platform, on this level.
Very entertaining.
Know, representing the continent.
Right.
You know, these young players that, you know, we have some, you know, other veteran players like Slimane, but, you know, I'm really impressed with the way they're going at it. And, you know, it's beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Now let's do a quick stat update for US Monastir. They had a 24-point quarter to Petro de Luanda's 19, which made the comeback happen. And for Monastir, the stats of the day for the third quarter, is they're shooting 19 out of 43, which is 44%. And from the three-point range, they're 3 for 16. And now they're on the board. They have 18%. Before it was 0. Mm. So that's 3 points. That's 9 points. They're back in the game just like that.
And that's where we were talking about coaching.
Yeah.
And maybe those are some of the conversations the coach was having 100%. With the players.
And then the two biggest things that both teams need to worry about is their free throw percentage. U.S. Monastery is shooting 72%, while Petro de Luan is shooting 57%. Now, if Petro de Luan just gets that up a little bit more, get more to the free throw line, I think they might have a chance to have a clear chance in the fourth quarter when it comes down to like the last 2 minutes to hit those free throws.
Yeah.
And for three-pointers, Petro de Luan is shooting at 41%. That is a high percentage. Usually, team percentage is shooting between 30 to 35. Now, if you get 40%, that means your team is on fire. Now, only imagine they're shooting 50% and the team is only down by 2 points. Now, that definitely means something, you know. That means they're both fast break offense, a lot of defense is being played. So, hope to get a good one.
And the fourth quarter just started. It's 59-57.
So tight, isn't it, Dixon? That is a traveling call. And they're giving the ball back to their Angolan opponents as they trail by 2 points. Q.
Turnover number 15 for U.S. Monastery, and I guess uncharacteristically 20 turnovers for Petro de Luanda, but they still do hold the most important stat or most important scoreline, and that's the lead, 59-57.
You know, when Domingos just went into these into basketball royalty, they literally collected him. They helped him and preventing him from hurting himself. He's back up on his feet, no harm done. Dikembe Mutombo, etc. Look at it. They're all down there. Get the man back up. Hold him back up. He's 100%. That is just brilliant. Great moment. Well, that's what it's all about. It's all about being together, uniting, and, you know, for the right cause and protecting and, at the moment, protecting your basket, isn't it? Protecting protecting the boards, basically.
21st turnover for Petro de Luanda. That time, the defensive pressure forcing the rushed pass from Moreira.
Dixon, given a little bit of space. It's a wild pass, but it's still made safe. Dixon with a three-pointer. It's going to go! It's a beautiful triple there for Dixon. And how about that? They move ahead by a point going into the fourth quarter here.
The pressure increases. Dixon's shot-making rate continues to climb. This is someone who I think enjoys a high-pressure shot.
But he's good from downtown as well. He's going in from the outside. That's another fine basket as well. How about that from Yannick Moreira? And they move 1 point ahead.
Another lead change. We've seen 10 of those prior to this as both these teams continue to want this title.
Now let's just have a look at this again. It's, I think that's Lionel Paolo. He just got in the way, but it's the charge, isn't it? It's actually the call on Leani is it goes against him, in fact. And he picks up his second.
It's also a second team foul.
And now into the game for Petro de Luanda, number 5.
And a couple of change happening on the floor as Dindao comes back in. Domingos is going to go to the bench. 3 points, his contribution. And I'm sure we might see him again. It just depends on the state of the game.
So much at stake. And there's players, we've got three players in foul trouble, of course. Majox, early on, he picked up his fourth foul, so obviously not spending too much time. And he's just been named the Dikembe Mutombo 2022 Defensive Player of the Year. So a great accolade, but he's frustrated because he's not actually on the floor.
He is not really where he wants to be, but it is a great award, picking up that Defensive Player of the Year award, and it's well deserved for Adnan Majok.
Dixon, Petro lead by a point. Yannick Moreira with a simple foul that sees him go up to four. So there's another player on four fouls. That's three now in this Petro team.
it's going to be really, really interesting to see how U.S. Monastir approach this, because the natural inclination is to attack the player who is in foul trouble, Moreira, off Pedro back in, but he's also got four fouls. And, you know, player management and rotation management, crucial for the coaching staff of Pedro de Luanda.
You know what? I can see Sliman, who's like, oh, that was Leone trying to smash it down.
We're looking for his third highlight play. Leone gets baseline on Paolo. Has him on his back, goes up. Paolo did enough to just deter the dunk, but it'll be Leone to the free throw line.
And the first foul for Paolo. 36 years of age, but the player getting good time on the floor with U.S. Monastir, capable of just getting themselves ahead if Leone can increase his tally to 17 points tonight.
One of the three veterans and experienced and well acknowledged players on the Angolan team. Three basketball Angolan basketball legends, Leonel Paolo, Carlos Moraes, and Olympia Cipriano, and form the core of the leadership, and they love to steer the ship both on the bench and on the floor.
Leone, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 from 8 from this line here. Can he make it 5 from 9? Yes, he can. Have a guess where we are, Q. With 8:21 left to go, we are tied. We're tied.
That's the 11th tie of this one.
It's just incredible. We knew that it was going to be a tight tussle. You know, Zamalek, they lost the thread against... U.S. Monastir lost the thread against Zamalek in last year's final. You can see that no one wants to lose the thread against each other tonight. This is a big battle between big teams from Africa. We're loving it.
13 fouls now for U.S. Monastir.
Dundau. There's Moraes. Moraes got his range. Comes back off, and there's a foul. I think it's Paolo on Gayaza. An off-the-ball incident. I might be right there. I might be wrong. But I think it is.
I think it's Johnny Pedro who is whistled. And that's going to be his fifth foul. He's going to have to take a walk. And you see him at the bottom of our screen to the left, just walking off the court.
Yeah,
so he fouls out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Fifth foul, Johnny Pedro. Okay. First player to leave this final. Not just anybody either. Yannick Moreira is, of course, his cover player. We've also got Gaku. But we just saw Majok as well, who's still got some basketball to play tonight. Here he is, Diabate. It's the ball out, Malanawi trying to get the ball out. Shot clock going down, but still plenty of time to get a shot in. Gayaza, Diabate. They're around him really big time. There's the Ivorian. It's a air ball, and it goes out of play. And he's calling a bit of contact there, the Ivorian, but I don't think there was. A little bit of a smile, a little bit of a call, but nothing's going, I'm afraid.
Well, maybe got away with one, Moraes, but it was still a great defensive possession for Petro.
Picked up by Dundau. Dundau into the hands of Gonsalves. Gonsalves on 22 points. Up against Gayaza, gets the ball out wide to Paolo. Paolo, it's a travelling call on Paolo. And a giveaway possession, which is not the best scenario for them.
23rd turnover, and this one probably hurts a little bit more because of the state of the game. Stoic look on the face of Johnny Pedro on the bench. He's got to watch this one.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it, when you're actually watching, you know, you're fouled out of the final and there's 7.5 minutes left to play. That's a lot of basketball. So much can happen. He's not going to play a part of it. That's a long-range shot from Manawi, and it comes off the metal. Once again, let off the hook. Otherwise, Monastir would have moved ahead by three. Here is that man, Moraes. Moreira. It's a travelling, second successive travelling call going against Pedro de Luanda. Surely, how many timeouts have they got left, Pedro de Luanda? Because they might want to call one pretty soon.
Sixth turnover for Yannick Moreira.
Sliman's on it. Sliman three fouls and just 2 points tonight. That's just not his normal self, is it? Playing a different game, but really getting a bit too easily frustrated, maybe. That's a big pass there, and the layup's good from Gayaza in the paint. He is top-notch.
Great execution on the offense, finding Gayaza in the right place, and he was at point-blank range, did the job required of him.
Moraes. Moraes. Paolo. Paolo. Gets the ball out to Gonçalves. Gonçalves back to Paolo. Tries to get rid of his man. There he goes through. He goes through the traffic. That is beautiful. That was poetry in motion. A stunning piece of play there. Two players down, which is not looking good. Moreira and Sliman clashing during that tangled up offensive move.
Well, first of all, what a fantastic play by Paolo. You know, getting by one defender, attacking the rim hard, and experience to go glass to get the finish. And I guess what happened in the aftermath is you see Moreira and Sliman get tied up, and both players looking for the foul call and getting tangled up.
Petrolanda 63, Ers Monastir 63. It's going out wide. It's a big shot. Sliman takes the rebound. Sliman tries to get past his man. Marnaoui out wide. Majok's on. Majok around the outside. Diabate this time. Oh, there's a little bit of a tangled up maneuver, and they will still keep possession.
Kick ball, and that's a reset of the shot clock. They'll have 14 more seconds to try and construct and find a nice shot within the offense.
Where on earth is this going? I've got no idea. Dixon, Sliman. Sliman out wide. Marnaoui with a long-range shot. It just rattles the metal. Majok just tussles and hustles there with Paolo. Paolo wins the battle there. As we see Dundao, the electric pace of that wonderful playmaker, but it's picked up by Solo Diabate. We're right up the other end now. Gayaza, there's Marnaoui. Marnaoui tries to drop it in, but the points won't count.
Well, speeding down the floor was Diabate, and getting into his path, Leonel Paolo felt the ground kind of slowly. The referees made the call late, but it is a charge call. Diabate couldn't control momentum. Nice dish off. They call the charge, and so it will be change of possession. Turnover number 17 for U.S. Monastir. 14 fouls apiece. 63-63, we are tied.
And it's that man, Sliman, who goes to the free throw line. It was a technical foul, in fact, for Jose Neto. That's the reason why we've got Sliman, who's going up to the free throw line.
And the team's best shooter, best free throw shooter, you'd expect Sliman to knock that down and give them just the lead, and he misses.
And that just underlines, you know, how important it is for key players to make their mark in such a big game. Sliman just a little bit short of what he's capable of doing, of course, well, on a normal basis, as Gonçalves with a beautiful layup. That's a big score for the Angolan giant. Producing the goods.
Fantastic footwork, fantastic finish. Gonçalves 24 now.
5 minutes remaining in this final. It's been given to Maggio. He will do that all day, every day, if he can. Leani loves that little moment there from the Giants.
It really was a quality pass to find Majok in position. And the drop off from Dixon. Majok catches, goes straight up, straight in.
Dundao. Moraes. Moraes. Keeping it away from those fierce defenders. Oh, he tries to go through, and there's a foul at Manawi, I believe, who got in his way. He was keeping him in close check, wasn't he?
He had him in a pretty good position defensively, forced the spin into three defenders, and bundled to the ground, draws the foul, and that's 15th foul, and we'll send Carlos Moraes to the free throw line.
We're going to take a break. 65 points apiece. We're all tied. Petra Luanda, US Monastir. What happens? We'll have to wait and see. We'll be back in a moment.
Basketball Africa League action on the Voice of America. That was a crazy move by Moraes.
Yeah, he got the foul.
Yes, he got the foul, the spin move. But the fact that three Tunisia players, Monastir players, were right there, that tells me that there has been a change in their algorithm in terms of their understanding of their defense. They are trying to keep them contained to where they are right now. You see that now, you know, the lead is changing back and forth, back and forth.
Looks
and
like a ping pong match.
We're about to see some, you know, great basketball in those last minutes.
I might make an early prediction, but it might be coming down to a buzzer beater.
True.
Buzzer beater or a free throw to win the game.
Right, and also you want to stay away from making predictions right now because you know it will come back and bite you, Danny.
Yeah, very true. I got to follow whatever Sonny Young say. I got to follow them.
Basketball Africa League for us at voaafrica.com. We are also on all social media platforms, and we are back from the break.
4 minutes and 36 seconds left in the fourth quarter. It's the BAL Finals. This is where we will find one team who will be crowned Kings of Africa and one team who will just finish off as second place. The second place team, of course, after such a long competition. 38 games,
and it comes down to the final 4 minutes, and it's going to be about possession by possession.
And let's go across to Usha and get her thoughts on this scenario. I mean, how's your heart pressure, Usha?
That's an interesting question.
And every single time, it's a big score, Coles Junior. And how about that? 68-66. US Monastir move ahead. Wow.
I hope that answered your question, Robbie.
Yes, it has indeed.
It is a high-pressure game, and you can see that both teams are giving everything to win. But it's going to go down to the wire, and whoever is consistent and has the last run, like Coach Mary Andrade said, will win this game.
Thank you so much, Usha. We'll catch up with you a little bit later on. Valuable information every single time. They're on five team fouls, US Monastir. The reason why we're going to go up to the... I think we're going to the free throw line because the foul was on Dindao.
No, the foul was on Slimane, who picks up his fourth foul. And he's also in a little bit of foul trouble.
And of course, if these sink, then we'll square once again.
5 of 10 before that miss. With the 5 of 11 for Yannick Pereira. And got to at least get one of these two. One feels from this free throw line.
Yannick Moreira, a lot of pressure to make sure that this goes down. Just
interesting change.
Yeah.
Gaku's going to go to the bench. They're bringing in the experience of Cipriano. This is going to help them space the floor, but they give up a little bit of size.
Well, yeah, you know, if they want to pass the ball around and swing it around a little bit, he's one certain player who can do that. That's an important point. That is, it's a very important shot. 67-68 and into the last 4 minutes. Coles Junior puts it up for Majok. He puts it in as well.
Wow, what a fantastic throwdown by Majok, skying high, and it's a big time play.
Carlos Moraes going up for the three. It's an important three, but it doesn't go up onto the scoreboards, coming off the metal and made tame by Slimane. This is the important part of the game now. It's the important moment of these finals. It's been a long journey for all of these teams. They get possession back. Coles Junior doing enough to get that ball touched by Moreira.
Oh. And the pass or the finish, both really fantastic. Just over the outstretched hands of Moreira and Majok. You've seen him do that all season, and he's doing it now when it matters most.
Incredible. Here's Majok again. Majok. Oh, it doesn't fall so close. And that would have been a 5-point lead for US Monastir with just over three to go. Here's Gonsalves. Gonsalves hitting threes like they've been going out of fashion. It's a big pass. That is, oh my word, look at that, swatting it away. Majok comes to the floor, picked up by Gonsalves, goes into the paint, drops it. Oh, the pass doesn't fall into the hands of Moreira. And there's a foul by Carlos Moraes, knocking over that man, Marnaoui.
Smart foul. It might be called an unsportsmanlike, and there's certainly a case for the ball on a downward path of trajectory, but you see the value of Artur Majok inside the paint. He can block shots out of them as well, and the referees are just going to confer to figure out if they're going to call a clear path and make it an unsportsmanlike or a technical foul on that foul by Moraes. If it is, it's going to be two shots plus possession and a chance for U.S. Monastir to create some separation.
Yeah, we're just getting the lay of the land. Of course, the officials just gathering, communicating. The Tunisian fans who have made the journey down here to Kigali making a lot of noise.
What may save Moraes is that there was a player ahead of him. He wasn't the last player on the line. And in the context of the game, was a really smart play. And so it should be. And yeah, they do call unsportsmanlike. So it is two shots plus possession.
And there it is. That's the call on Carlos Moraes. And it's Marnaoui who goes straight up to the free throw line. Such an important play at such an important time of the game. The first drops in.
Six pick points by Marnaoui,
and so does the second.
Make that seven, and he has been an X-factor player off the bench for U.S. Monastir.
Get this, if they score from this play now, that will be a big statement, and it'll give them a lot of confidence as going into these final 3 minutes. Ball comes out wide, it's a big long-range shot, rattles the rim, doesn't drop. And picked up and taken forward by Cipriano, down into the corner. Cipriano, it goes off the mat, off the backboard, and straight into the hands of that man, Coles Jr. They get possession back, fine battling there by Petro de Luanda.
That is the value of Dindal. He just can't put the ball down on the floor around him and able to force a very crucial turnover with 2:22 left. You can go either way.
That was so tight, so tight. You know, I'm looking around, you know, I'm popping my head up like a meerkat just to try to read the situation, read, you know, the reactions from the coaches and the players and how they're trying to work out what they're going to do for the final 2 minutes 22. It is tantalizingly close here.
Majok, four fouls. Slimane, four fouls. Gaku, four. Moreira, four as well.
Gonsalves. The ball into the hands of Moreira. Oh, he's just lost the ball. Marnaoui gets a hold of it. Marnaoui! And Majok comes across and he flies down. And again, you can see what's going on here. The aggressive offensive play there by U.S. Monastir. And it's the fifth team foul, first of all, and the fourth for Carlos Moraes.
Again, it's the play of that man, Marnaoui, getting down the floor and forces the block to come across. And, Carlos Moraes had to challenge, had to make sure that he doesn't get the easy score, but he's forced to pick up his fourth foul.
And Petro, of course, calling a timeout, logically, Q, because they need to have a game plan for these last couple of minutes. You know, it's still a game that anybody can win, but it depends how you manage these crucial moments.
Well, and what they do need now is a score, and they're going to have to try and see what happens with Marnaoui at the free throw line. He was pretty consistent the last time down. Looks like he's unaffected by the pressure of the moment. He makes both. They have even more separation. Do they go for a two? Do they go for a three? But they've got to find something within the flow of their offense. And with the personnel that they have and the foul trouble, there's just so much happening.
And of course, you've got to look at Petro de Luanda now, because they are 5 points behind. They know that both the US Monastir have got five team fouls, so we will go to the free throw line. They can stop this game, you know, with those moments and try and draw the fouls so that they can go to the free throw line as well. But it's all about possession. Dixon is the man, 70% field goal percentage. And just look at that for a tally. He's been outstanding. He's put in a fantastic performance here tonight with 21 points. And just his vision and his confidence on the floor tonight has been, well, just top draw.
He also knows when to pick his moments. And can come up with the big shots when needed and necessary. And he has been a good pickup, a great pickup for US Monastir. And he's been a factor in them advancing and getting here in this position in the championship game and throughout the season.
Went to University of Missouri and an American, of course, but he's also played in Georgia. They offered him Georgian citizenship.
2015 Lithuanian League All-Star.
From Lithuania, you've got some big, big shooters from the outside coming from Lithuania. Marnelli, 8 points. 3 from 3. 4 from 4. Now, Dundau in possession. 2 minutes here. It's the finals of the BAL Season 2. The 38th game. We've been to Dakar, we've been to Cairo. And that, oh, that's going to be a foul. Marnaoui picking up his third foul, I think.
Moraes really wanted that one to fall. He's looking for the three-point play, and it just rattled in and out. But what he did do is get a chance to go to the free throw line. And again, it's the ability to stop the game clock and try and make inroads into the lead. They can get it back within five. They've got to apply some pressure on the defensive end. Two of four, 50% for Carlos Moraes from the free throw line so far.
Majok on the bench. Leani and Slim out of the two players. This is the first. Second is good. Possession in the hands of US Monastir. Full court press, logically. They need to get themselves, but they can't leave players with loads of space. Marnaoui gets the ball out wide, brings it back, using the clock intelligently.
See a little bit of confidence in the body language of the US Monastir players.
Well, especially when they produce drives like that. Marnaoui unable to sink it, but it was really well done. Comes out wide, and there he is going around the outside. That's a beautiful score towards the foul as well. And Petro Luanda with that man who's been unstoppable all night, Gonsalves.
The standout player for Petro de Luanda, 26 for Lukendi Gonsalves, and just creating contact and separation, and that left hand difficult to block as he goes baseline for two.
It just climbs up a little bit into the sky, the stepladder effect, but still manages to just pop it in.
Pressure free throw and bring it back within a single possession.
Gonsalves. Oh, he just doesn't manage to drop it in. It's a four-point game. So it's Petro Luanda is still trailing. 1 minute 20. Every play is key now. Free throw 72, 54 for Petro. So down on the Tunisian Giants as Coles Jr. goes through and he gets fouled.
Hey, yeah, that's going to be the end of the evening for Moreira, who will pick up his fifth. And though he's had a pretty great game offensively with his 18 points, his presence on the floor probably needed down the stretch here with this final 1 minute and 6 seconds.
Yeah, and we'll obviously have Gakou, who's going to come back on to replace him, but he's on four fouls as well, so we just know that this is tantalizingly close, and every play is vital.
Right, it's sweaty pumps time from the free throw line. Can you hold your
nerves? Nice image, that is good. Thanks. Cole Studia gets his first 5 points now. Check for the rebound. Oh, the second's good as well. Cole Junior, as cool as you like. Picked up by Gonsalves. Just over a minute remaining here in this final. Gonsalves gets... Oh, he doesn't manage to sink the two, but he does draw the foul. And Cole Junior is the player who's frustrated because he knows that, well, he's been caught out for that. And that'll give him the chance to get 2 points. Quick transition play.